Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Okay, folks. We were not able to be on the air on Friday night because some things were going on. My wife was out doing her DoorDash that she does and had car trouble, so I had to go out and help. So I had to cancel the show. I rescheduled it for tonight, so we've got ourselves a show going tonight. One of the things that I have been talking about over the past year or so is this whole idiocy about trans people. I've got several articles on this, but the one thing I wanted to start out with tonight is a audio clip that I got, and this was something that came from a trans person. Now, everybody seems to think, oh, we can't say anything against them because it'll go bad, it'll be bad for us. But here is what we are allowing if we do not put a stop to this crap. This person was telling everybody what the heck was going to go on if they tried to keep him from going into the bathroom of his choice. In other words, if you had a kid, a daughter, going into a girl's bathroom, and you tried to stop this man who thinks he's a woman from going in, this is his threat to you. This is his threat to you, and we've got to start listening to stuff like this, folks, because if we don't, things are going to get bad very fast. Listen to this person.
We have allies who are also arming up because this is a war you started. The old expression, you prod the bull long enough, you're going to get the horns. If you back a wild animal into a corner, they're going to become a dangerous animal. So if you want to die on that hill of yours of righteousness and moral majority, then you go right ahead. I dare you to try and stop me from going into a women's bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. I dare you to try and stop a transgender woman in my presence from using the bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. This is a call to action and a call to arms to everybody within the United States that are scared, worried, have children that are transgender, lesbian, bi, or gay. This is a call to action. You need to arm up, plain and simple. Go out, buy a gun, learn how to use it efficiently, through and through, because the time to act is now. You need to protect yourself, and you need to protect your fellow transgender brothers and sisters and theys and thems. You need to protect the rest of us in the LGB community, as I'm going to do myself. I do not fear Christians, I do not fear conservatives, I do not fear evangelicals, and I do not fear Republicans. They just talk a big game. That's all they do. But heaven forbid you do something in my presence. You're going to know what fear actually feels like. I'm done. I am done with this shit. We've done the right thing. We've turned the other cheek. We've shouted at the top of our lungs. We've gone to our state legislatures. We've sent emails. We've signed petitions. We've made phone calls. We've done everything. This is a war you want, the war you're going to get. But I can guarantee you, you're not going to get the outcome you want. Because there are lots of people like me who are not afraid to die. I love my girlfriends to death, but I would rather die for them to secure their safety, freedom, and future than to live and not have anything done. So you go ahead. You protect your kids from me using the bathroom. You've been warned.
Okay. We have been warned, folks. This person doesn't care if you've got a daughter going in there. If you try to stop him from going into the women's bathroom, then there's going to be hell to pay for you for trying to protect your children from this maniac, from this monster that this world has created. And that's exactly what this is, folks. He keeps saying that he is a transgender woman. No, there is no such thing unless the transgender was a woman in the first place. This man who says he's a woman is nothing more than a man wanting to go into girls' bathrooms so that he can see what the women are doing. That's all there is. That's all this is, folks. That's all this is. Growing up, all you had to do was be a guy, and the first thought was going past the women's bathroom. Ooh, go in there and see what they're doing. This is what the transgender community now is getting away with. Why? Because they have decided upon themselves that God made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes, folks. The only mistakes being made here are people like this person who is warning you not to protect your children and keep him out of the women's bathroom. Period. That's it. This man is delusional. This man's an idiot. This man is warped. This man is not a woman, but he wants us to treat him like a woman. No, no. I don't care what these people say, folks. If they were born a man, they will be a man until they die. There is no way mankind has enough power or enough knowledge to change what God made. Oh yeah, we can cut up and mutilate. We can make fake genitalia of the opposite sex and make it look like it's decent, but it's still fake. You do this and go through the whole transgender process of going through the sex change operations and everything, you're going to die what you were born, even though you've made yourself to look the opposite sex. Once you die, your bones will tell the truth. Plain and simple. This person on this video, on this audio that I just played, it was a video. Ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. How they think they can be conceived as a woman when all this man looks like is a man play dressing as a woman. Period. Welcome to the show. I had here a beginning to this show, which I had was gonna read, and I think I'm gonna go ahead and read it now if I can find it here. Well, maybe not. I don't know here. Okay. We are not demanding new or special rights for people who identify as LGBTQ. LGBT is what they put. We are just asking for the rights of all people to be respected. Now, this is how this whole thing started out. Now they're threatening normal people who do not want a man in the women's bathroom when their daughters are in there, this man is threatening physical violence if you try to stop him from going into the women's bathroom. When they wanted, you know, this is how the LGBTQ movement started, by saying they wanted nothing but to be recognized. We gave that to them. And they were not happy. They then wanted to be allowed to do things everyday people did without discrimination. We gave that to them to a point. And on it went until we get to today when they are demanding a holiday of their own, an LGBTQ holiday. And the ability to do to people what people have done to them. This is getting insane. And it all started with the simple line that we just want to be respected, recognized as people. But the problem lies in the fact that they don't just want that. They want to take over the world, as Brain always said in the Pinky and the Brain cartoons. Remember how that always started when Pinky would say, "What are we going to do tonight, Brain?" And Brain would say, "Try to take over the world." But this is not a cartoon, folks. This is real life. And no matter what you say, being trans or bi or gay or any of these other anomalies is wrong, and God does not condone it. The world does, but as I've been saying for the last past several years now, the world's God is Satan, not Jesus. And for that, my friends, we are so going to hell if we don't stop the way the world is seeing things and treating people who believe that doing right and wrong will lead you to different places. It will. But those places are either heaven or hell. You believe, as the world does, that there is nothing wrong with transgenders, then you are going to hell. Because this is evil and wrong in every sense of the word. And yes, saying this truth anymore can get you in trouble. If the right people heard me say this, I would be hauled away in a straitjacket for doing nothing but telling the truth. This show would end. And that is where the world is today. Tell the truth, you're bad. Tell the lies of the left, and you're the best people around. That is where this world is going the wrong way these days. And it has gotten so bad that people are afraid to tell the truth anymore. This is not a good thing. But this is one of the reasons why this show and this network are still here, and we will stay here until people start hearing the truth. Welcome to today's show on this, the 21st. Well, actually, it is the 20th. No, 23rd day of April in the year of our Lord, 2023. 21st was Friday. I was going to do this show Friday, and we had things that came up, and I had to cancel. But good to have you here with us, and we have a great show planned, and we will see you after this intro.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to
do. Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Something about your dad's immigration practices,
you
feckless.
They go low,
he can. How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, "Well, what do you think I should have done?" I said, "I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race." He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Welcome back to the show. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. If you want to join the show, welcome to the show. One of the things that we have going nowadays is we're constantly hearing stuff about trans people, how they are demanding things like this moron who threatened parents, threatened anybody, if they decided they were going to keep him out of the women's bathroom. His exact words were, it'll be the last thing. His words were pretty much that they will be the last thing you ever do. This, my friends, is a threat. If I went out and threatened somebody like that, I would probably be thrown in jail. But this person, because he is a transgender, which, by the way, folks, there is no such thing. He was born a man. He is still a man. But he wants to go into your daughter's bathrooms when your daughter is in there. Hello there. Hello? You there?
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm here. How are you? Are you there? Are we there? All of me. Whatever, there's like Kipper said.
We're all here.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm telling you, man, I'm glad you're talking about this thing here because, you know, you made a statement a little ago. If you said this sort of thing, you'd be in jail. And, you know, people always regularly make those kind of statements. But I think we've got to take into account that our betters, our overlords, our masters are placing all of us in a state of anarcho-tyranny.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I know you've maybe heard the phrase before. Have you heard that phrase before?
I think I've used it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and that's what this is. I mean, they are allowed to do to you that which you cannot do to them, and if you dare defend yourselves against them, you will be charged with a crime. I refer you to Daniel Perry. I refer you to Jose Alba. I refer you to the McCluskeys in St. Louis. I refer you to that parking lot attendant in New York also, the one who defended himself, the guy who shot him, took the gun away from him, killed him. Alan Bragg charged him with murder. Only public outrage in both the cases of Jose Alba and the parking lot attendant caused him to drop the charges. But throughout the country, you're witnessing this.
Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it actually here in, and I'm actually seeing it here in New Mexico, because New Mexico is probably one of the worst liberal bastions in the United States, and we have a governor who wants who just passed HB7 or HR7, and essentially what it is it's a law that says that if you want to try and protect your kids from the, you can't do it.
Yeah, they create these anarchic conditions, and then when you dare defend yourself against them, they are prepared to bring the full bearing of the power of their office against you. Doesn't matter what the Constitution is. Doesn't matter if you live in the state of Texas, which has among the most liberal self-defense laws. I mean that in the sense of pretty much anything goes as far as determining what an immediate threat to your life is. Some of the most liberal self-defense laws. And despite that, somehow an Austin jury, a George Soros-appointed district attorney, managed to convict a soldier defending himself as the man with the AK-47 pointed at him.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the kind of government we're living in now. I mean, everything is that, like Al Gore once famously said, but in a different cause, everything that should be down is up, and everything that should be up is down. Yeah, but we're talking about it for a different set of values this time there, Mr. Gore.
Yep. And they don't ever bring up that different set of values. It's only what they think about, what they want to do. And, you know, a lot of the problems in the United States comes from one thing, and that's leadership that isn't leadership.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's that sort of a thing, man. I'm telling you, I remember people talking about this national divorce thing and all this other stuff, and I'm not particularly kowtowing to that. I'd rather just kick them out of power in the places where they're in power. But I certainly understand it now, even though I still don't agree with it, because I think these people ought to go rather than us, because they're anti-American, they're anti the Constitution, they're anti-objective truth, they're anti-everything that is normal, rational, reasonable, and good. I mean everything. This is the anti-everything good movement. All of these various, and all of their various guises, transgenderism, the environmentalism, the the centralization of power, the racial equity nonsense, all of it is just anti-everything that's good and proper. All of it is warped, evil, and positively demonic. These people really need an exorcism in many cases, maybe most. Yep.
And, you know, and you brought up the global warming thing. That thing comes up about every 10 years. You know, they'll try it, and then they'll go away for a little bit, and then they come back even harder. But the thing they never talk about is I can remember back in the 70s, back then they were telling us that the world was like everybody was standing on a railroad track and the train was coming, and if the train got to you, you're going to be dead. And we would never make it to year 2000. Well, now we're at 2023. And back then, if you looked at pictures of L.A., all you'd see is brown skies. But now if you look at pictures of L.A., you got blue skies out there. What the heck happened there? We cleaned up the air. But they never noticed that end of it. It's always, it's like AOC the other day said that we only have 5 years left if we don't change what we're doing. Well,
oh, how many times have we heard that? This end of the world in 5 years. This will be a new ice age, and we don't do something about it in 10 years. That was back in 1974.
Yep.
We had 10 years to invent a new ice age. You know, Manhattan's going to be flooded and overrun with water by 1990. None of these predictions have come true. Not a single one. And they keep making more. They keep stampeding the perennially stupid and brainwashed into believing it and accepting it, at least enough of them, not everybody, at least enough of them to be politically significant. See, the whole thing started out as anti-pollution, which nobody's against. We're all against pollution, me included. You know, clean up the environment, get the chemicals out of the toxic chemicals to the extent that it's possible, get them out, get the litter picked up, get the, the smog out of the air wherever you can. There was no substantial argument about it, and that's how they got their foot in the door. They got their foot in the door with that. Then the next thing they got in the tank, which is really kind of insoluble when you stop to think about it, since the greatest amount of warming emissions in the air is water vapor. That is the biggest single contributor to global warming is water vapor. I don't know what we're supposed to do about water vapor. You tell me, because I don't know. You know, we have, other than the water they shot in the outer space, you know, that went to outer space and maybe got urinated out by the astronauts or whatever, you know, or they put outside of the spacecraft, the space station. Every single drop of water that has ever existed in the history of the world is still in the atmosphere. It can't escape it. It's all there. What are you supposed to do about that? I never have gotten an answer to that one. I mean, we're still drinking water that was peed out by the dinosaurs millions of years ago.
And
you can't get rid of water. And water vapor is the biggest single contributor to global warming and climate change. Water. I don't think we want to get rid of water, but maybe these people do because they want to get rid of people. I believe they are anti-human. They're anti-human life. They want to extinguish a lot of us because we're too many. They think there's too many carbon emitters in the world. They eat too much meat. You know, they drive too many cars. They use too many air conditioners. They cause too much manufacturing to be done. Manufacturing creates carbon. It's harming Mother Earth. Only we elites need all this stuff, not all these peasants and serfs.
Yeah, and they keep talking about these electric cars, how great they are, but electric cars are actually causing more pollution than the gasoline-powered ones.
Well, they certainly cause more damage to the Earth's crust. It takes approximately 500,000 pounds of the Earth's surface to be dug up, depending upon how large the battery is. You know, it varies a bit, but you say rough average, 500,000 pounds of the Earth's crust for each individual electric vehicle battery. 500,000 pounds. That's what it takes. I mean, it's not like there's a zero-sum gain making electrical vehicles. All of them will be powered by either natural gas, petroleum, or nuclear energy. There's not enough energy density in windmills and solar farms to create the electrical output necessary to fuel a comparable fleet of cars as exists today in the world. It isn't possible with existing technology or even technology on the horizon for probably the next 50 years. It isn't possible. So they're going to have to be fueled by carbon of fossil fuel anyway.
Well, you know, it's like California is now saying by 2040 they want to get rid of all the gasoline-powered cars and make them all electric. Well, they're already having problems with their electric grid with the electric cars they've already got because they're asking people not to charge their cars on certain days. What's going to happen when everybody's got one?
Man, look, when they come talking now, they can do this foolishness when they try to stampede us into a technology that's not mature, not ready for prime time. But when they try to do it with the armed forces, they talk about electrical tactical vehicles. The absurdity of it becomes patently clear. Because frequently our soldiers are asked to go fight, guess where, in hell holes without any sort of infrastructure whatsoever. And when they go there, there won't be charging stations. The charging station will be in the form of logistical support that has the generators necessary to generate the electricity to recharge tactical vehicles.
Now, yeah, what runs those generators?
It's as convenient to do it as you can with petrol cans and fuel tankers because you don't have the energy density in an electrical vehicle battery as you do in a comparable unit of fossil fuel, whether it's diesel or whether it's gasoline. It's not even comparable, not even remotely so. So logistical burden is immensely increased by all these generators you're going to have to keep these tactical vehicles charged up where there's no infrastructure. Every one of them's got to be charged up with something that used some kind of fossil fuel.
Yep.
Because it's just a generator has to operate. You got to get it going for, or you got to have it near a running source of water, so you got hydroelectric power to make your charge. You're done. But there's no other way to do it. But I guess they just don't think these things through, do they? They don't care.
No, they do not.
It's pipe dreams. And you know, all we have to do is, we're like gods. We just wish these things to push, and like trans women and all that stuff. These people are nuts. They don't belong anywhere near the levers of power and authority. They're insane. They're lunatic. They're demented. They're delusional. There's something wrong with them at the very fundamental level. They are fanatics. When you think about it, it's like, you know, they ain't repealed the basic laws of physics or even Einstein's formula, you know, E equals MC squared. And that, it basically tells us it takes the same amount of energy to move a 5,000-pound gasoline-driven automobile a mile as it does an electric one. The only question is what produces the power. And it doesn't come from the battery. The battery just stores the power like a gas tank in a car. Gas tanks don't drive the car. They store the fuel that drives the car. I mean, and it's like these people didn't understand Newtonian physics, not electromagnetism, not thermodynamics. They just say, oh, we're going to move into a brave new world and think of all the job opportunities it's going to provide. These people are crazy. They're crazy. I'm just so glad I didn't go to college and learn all this stuff. I'm so glad I didn't go to college sometimes. I don't know what to say. Because you had to go to college to learn this kind of nonsense. And look. A typical electrical vehicle battery weighs about 1,000 pounds. And in case of a Hummer, it weighs 3,000 pounds. That's a ton and a half of battery. And but your average electrical vehicle weighs 1,000 pounds. It contains 25 pounds of lithium, 60 pounds of nickel, 44 pounds of manganese, 30 pounds of cobalt, 200 pounds of copper, 400 pounds of aluminum, steel, and plastic. There's over 6,000 individual lithium ion cells in your typical average battery. Okay?
Yep.
And to get all of those things, you got to mine the soil to get them. You got to process 25,000 pounds of brine for the lithium, 30,000 pounds of ore for the cobalt, 5,000 pounds of ore for the nickel, 25,000 pounds of ore for the copper. Like I said, 500,000 pounds of earth crust for just one battery. And then they're going to talk about...
And what does the left want to do with mining? They want to get rid of mining.
Yeah. Oh, no. Not when the Chinese had to do it with slave labor in Congo. They're going to bring back slave labor. Hell, they might decide to repeal the 13th Amendment. You never know. But look, they talk about because they're fanatical. They want to implement this come hella high water. The logistics be damned. I mean, look, if you take talk about electrical semi-tractor trailers. Now, just think for a minute now, boss. Think about this now. It takes for a 9,000-pound Hummer, the new H3 Hummer, the battery pack in it, as I said earlier, weighs 3,000 pounds, right? Now think about a tractor trailer, a semi-trailer. I used to be a 18-wheel driver. They weigh anywhere, depending on the cargo you're hauling and the class of the vehicle, they weigh between 17 tons and 34 to 40 or maybe even 50 tons, all right? That is an all-up gross vehicle weight rating for an 18-wheel semi-trailer, depending upon what class it is and what type it is and all that. You know, but safely all-up weight between 17 and 50. Now, how much of that weight do you think is going to have to be batteries to get it going up and downhill?
And how big is the battery going to have to be?
Yeah, how much cargo space that should be dedicated to batteries, I mean the cargo, space you got to dedicate, and weight you got to dedicate. Remember, this is an all-up vehicle weight rating. You can't weigh more than that in order to have efficient, safe braking and to be able to go over most bridges and tunnels and not ruin all the roads. Yeah, that's a total all-up weight with cargo, fuel, everything, okay? Now, how much of that weight is going to have to be dedicated to battery weight? Answer is one hell of a lot. So what does that mean? You can't carry as much cargo. What does that mean? You got to make more trips. What does that mean? Shipping becomes more expensive because everything comes by semi-trailer, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we got to pay more money to ship cargo and a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, and then
these people are crazy.
They probably want to make electric trains too, and that how much do those suckers weigh?
Well, actually, the modern diesel-electric engine is a hybrid. Mm-hmm. The engine is a big generator. The diesel engine power is a big generator, and the generator feeds electrical traction motors, and that's how it goes. But the main thing is you got to have a diesel. You got to have fossil fuel to run the diesel. Because there's one thing we got to admit. Electrical motors are very efficient at putting power to the wheels. The one thing they have going over the internal combustion engine is efficiency. Now, and because, I mean, a good internal combustion vehicle gives you about 20 to 30% efficiency at the rear wheels in power loss from the engine. Mm-hmm. But a motor can get you up to 80%. Electrical motor is 80% efficient. The power is electricity in the storage battery is not as energy dense as is fossil fuel. It is the most energy dense material out there short of fissionable material. There's no substitute for it when it comes to energy density. The amount, that's why you can have a gallon of gasoline and have an equivalent amount of energy in an electrical car. You got to have something that weighs about 400 pounds. A battery that weighs about 400 pounds to get a comparable amount of energy. I forget what the ratio is. I'm like between 200 and 400 pounds for a gallon of gasoline or diesel to a comparable amount of energy in batteries. There's no comparison. That's why.
No, there isn't.
That's why the internal combustion engine is that much more flexible.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you know, well, we're going to forge ahead because we're going to build an infrastructure that's going to power all of this. Now, we look today at the energy grid. Today, with what I think the highest saturation of electrical vehicles on the market is in California. And
yep.
I think someone like that's about 8 or 9% maybe. Throughout the rest of the country, it's like 3 to 4%, something like that. But even with that minimal amount of saturation in the state of California, it's all biggest and hot trot for it. They tell people everybody can't charge their vehicle at the same time on high energy demand days. That's with this small amount of saturation in the market. Think of what would happen if and when it gets to old 50% or even 25%. It won't be possible.
The whole state will shut down.
Like I said, reason and logic matters not a whit to fanatics. I swear to God, these people remind me sometimes of them, of some of the Japanese holdouts on these islands in the Pacific after World War II. I mean, reason just didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was the will to die for the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, some of these people, I swear to God, it sounds, you hear echoes of that.
Yeah, and the more we allow them to get away with it, the louder it's going to get.
Well, everything they do gets louder and louder. The more reason we show to them, the more contrary arguments we give, they respond to you with some kind of pipe dream. Well, no, we can't do it now, but there'll be a technological solution in 10 years. Meantime, we just rush ahead as though that technological solution has already happened. Instead of waiting for the technological solution first, then you implement the radical change. I mean, you know, when vehicles first came out, people had a choice between three types of automobiles. They had the steam engine, they had the internal combustion engine, and they had the electrical battery-powered vehicle. That was at the turn of the century when people decided to get these three types of vehicles very much in competition. Well, the steam engine was so impractical because it took so much labor just to get it ready to go out of the driveway in the morning. You had to build up steam, like in a locomotive. You got to build up steam pressure. You got to fire up the boiler. You got to adjust to make sure the pressures are all okay and all this other stuff. It was kind of impractical. The batteries of the day were just utterly inadequate other than for the shortest of trips. The internal combustion engine won out because the market showed it to be the best alternative for most people. The government didn't have to force people into internal combustion engines. You didn't have to have subsidies for it. There were no subsidies for it. The market, the internal combustion engine appeared to be the superior alternative for most people who wanted to buy an automobile. That's why it became the overwhelming favorite almost immediately. So within, 20 years, every car on the road for all practical purposes was an internal combustion engine vehicle.
Yep. And it's
but no, nowadays they have Uncle Sam and the government and Uncle Sugar tell us what we need to have and why we need to have it. And like I said, the laws of physics, the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of electromagnetism, be damned.
I swear, it's getting more and more insane all the time.
Well, look, the day that we should have known this, the day a significant number of people say that a man can have a period, menstruate, in other words, menstruate and give birth, is the day that any insanity is possible. This is a widespread view among thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, millions of people, that it can actually be true. So when you start to say that sort of thing, that is contrary to all of our existence up until now, all of human existence. Nobody's ever said this in all the human existence. And I submit to you, any insanity is possible, yes, even probable.
One of the things that I've said, I think for the last 10 years of this show, one of the things I've always said is that the left works on one principle and one principle only. You tell a lie enough times, it's going to be perceived as the truth eventually. And
well,
they're very good at this.
Well, speaking of lies, when are we going to see the Tranny Festo from Nashville? Have you seen the Tranny Festo yet?
Nope.
Now, why is that, I wonder? We saw the Louisville guys' manifesto, and you know why they wanted you to see it? Because now it turns out that this guy did his shooting because he wanted to show people how easy it is for somebody who's mentally ill to get an assault weapon. They were eager to let us see that. So they let us see that right away.
Yep.
Because that goes along with your narrative, guns too easy for people to get. Now, the Tranny Festo, I have no doubt, would indicate some sort of irrational hatred and desire to destroy Christians and people who believe in traditional morality and traditional concepts of masculinity and femininity. And I have no doubt that this Tranny Festo is full of hatred for people who believe that, and a desire to exterminate them. And
absolutely,
they just don't want to see how mentally ill and warped many of these people are. They don't want to see it. No matter how often we see it in public, with them turning over tables, battering and assaulting people for daring to express a contrary viewpoint, their demented lunatic howling and raving and everything else, no matter how many times we see it, they don't want us to see it in writing, because that way it becomes even more concrete, to hear the ravings of demented minds,
mm-hmm,
not just conduct.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I played that audio that I did at the beginning of the show with that trans guy warning parents that they were going to have all kinds of hell to pay if they tried to keep him out of the bathroom when their daughter was in there or something. You know, and I thought, this has to be heard, because they don't put out this kind of thing, but, you know, the news media will completely ignore this. They'll never say anything. Hello, Sarge. Good to see you there. And they'll never mention this kind of thing. But then when something like this comes out, it takes them by surprise, because here is a transgender who's warning all of us, you better not ever try to keep me out of the women's bathroom when your daughter's in there, or there's going to be hell to pay. Well, that's a threat. I don't care how you look at that. That is a threat.
And the most inexplicably protected class I've ever seen, and it's being protected at the highest levels of our government, the presidency of the United States. They are not only protecting it, they are actively encouraging it to be. I've never heard a mental illness, a patently, clearly seen and established mental illness, seen as something that's desirable. I mean,
mm-hmm,
most of the times when people exhibit signs of schizophrenia, depression, paranoia, delusions, the desire is to cure them of it so it doesn't exist. But we're told that to cure people of their transgenderism is akin to genocide. They literally say that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want it cured. They want to be regarded as an ethnic group that was intended to exist just like, I don't know, birds. I mean, this is crazy. This isn't all the way to put it. can if people, at least them actually putting somebody in a highly responsible position like Sam Britton. Just because he wants to, he's got a fetish for wearing dresses and stealing out of airports.
You know,
so therefore you have to take somebody like that and put them in an important and responsible position. Because being a transgender is no different than being a woman.
I'll tell you, I wouldn't put anybody like that in a position of importance in my business. That's for damn sure.
Well, you might want to ask the Surgeon General of the United States about that.
Well,
I mean,
I'd probably end up in jail and probably lose my business. But
you know, the first woman to be, whatever he calls himself, the ceiling shatter, whatever he's supposed to be shattering ceilings for, whatever.
Yeah, they've pretty much decided for the rest of us what's going to happen.
In the meantime, amazingly, these transgenders are supplanting women all over the place, and there's a large chorus of women that are defending it. It is absolutely incomprehensible. And those of us who wish to defend women against these crazy men, the ultimates of the ultimate in patriarchy, are being scorned by the very same women who say they're for women.
Yep.
It really is circularly insane.
And just let them say something that doesn't fit the narrative just one time, and the left will throw them right under the bus.
Man, the left does whatever. But basically, though, if you stop thinking about, even though sometimes I throw my hands up at the way they behave and what they're saying, what they do, I got to keep reminding myself. The purpose of everything the neo-Marxist left does, and I mean all of this craziness we're seeing everywhere, is always and forever to subvert every institution that thus far has made America the greatest country in the history of mankind and to replace it with their idea of hegemonic control. That's what the whole purpose of all of it is. Remember, we can't fail to see the forest for these individual trees. The forest is fundamentally transforming the United States into what it has been into what it's not supposed to be. All
well,
of it
you
is
know, that was... That was the first thing that Obama said before when he was running, that he wanted to fundamentally transform America. My first thought was fundamentally change it into what? It's already great.
He said just before the election, we are 3 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Hallelujah. Well, he didn't say the hallelujah part, but I'm paraphrasing the rest. That's what he said. We're 3 days away. And the cascade we're looking at now started with his election.
Yep.
It was a vice. He gave us for two terms the vice president that is completing the destruction of the United States as a constitutional republic. And a big stupid kleptocrat, an utterly corrupt, hollow, soulless man with no center, no whatever. The only thing he's concerned about is not even really ideology. It's who's going to help me keep the grip going and cover for me when I get in trouble. We've seen all the things that have come out now about this former deputy director of the CIA, Earl Morrow, being directed by Anthony Blinken to get in contact with all of his intelligence experts, the 51 to write the letter on Joe Biden's behalf, saying that Hunter Biden's laptop bore all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. We know that now. He said it under oath to Jim Jordan. Under oath, this guy said
it.
And he said he did it because he wanted to see Joe Biden elected president of the United States. That is this big, and we know it. Poll after poll after poll after poll after poll has shown that for at least 9% of the voters that voted out there, Democrats, would have changed their vote from Joe Biden to Donald Trump had they known of it. You got to remember, Joe Biden won the election by a margin of about 33,000 to 43,000 votes in five states. You change those votes the other way, Donald Trump's the president.
Yep. You know, and the thing that nobody stops to look at, you know, is that's like after Obama won, one of the things that John McCain said was something that everybody who loses said up until that point, he says, I'm glad this is over. Now we can get back together and work to work, do good for the country. And Obama says, no, John, I won, you lost, elections have consequences.
Robert Kane was part of the unit party that actually is seeking to fundamentally transform the United States. He just wasn't mm-hmm. quite as radical as Barack Obama, but he was a member of it nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain was definitely a member, along with the Bushies and all the others. They were all part of this globalist notion of the world norms. You know,
yeah,
worldwide.
the one that scared the shit out of them was Trump, because he wasn't that way, and he was kind of like an outsider, and they couldn't control him.
No, he was a loose cannon, no doubt about that. Donald Trump is the most loose cannon outside a president ever. I'm trying to think of anybody comparable in American history. I can't really think of one. Maybe Teddy Roosevelt a little bit comes to mind in some ways. But Jimmy Carter was a bit of an outsider, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
But and you know, he was another Harvard president, although Teddy Roosevelt, not so much, but in some ways he was a bad president. Most ways he was a great president. But nonetheless, Donald Trump is definitely the most, they just could not imagine anybody like him become president, which is why they supported him initially in the first place, in the news media. News media thought he was one great copy, which he is. He's a great copy. He's great for a big, great, big headline. He's always going to say something outrageous or interesting. And then number two, by extolling and elevating him, they thought he was the most candidate Hillary Clinton could most easily defeat.
And she didn't.
God, can you imagine? I mean, one thing about Hillary Clinton, she may be an evil wench, but one thing about it, she ain't stupid.
No, she's definitely
not. She really
not.
Might have been dangerous. She's calculating and utterly ruthless.
Well, one of the things that I've been looking at is that we, when it comes to our leadership, we do not have leadership. Reagan even talked about this one like this.
It's a nasty truth, but those who seek to inflict harm are not fazed by gun control laws. I happen to know this from personal experience. The NRA believes that America's laws were made to be obeyed and that our constitutional liberties are just as important today as 200 years ago. And by the way, the Constitution does not say that government shall decree the right to keep and bear arms. The Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
And there's the difference between leadership then and leadership now.
Yeah. Good old Gipper. Yeah, good old Gipper, man. I tell you, nobody could. I mean, there were a few presidents who could get render a speech like him. He put those acting skills in service of one of the best causes ever in American history, and they were superb. And that man could really. That A Time for Choosing speech still rings true. Every time I hear it, it gives me kind of like chills.
It definitely does. That was one of the best speeches I ever heard, and I've been here on this
and delivered
somewhere.
So well. Again, putting his skills as an actor to use in a great cause. I mean, I think that was just fantastic. Ronald mm-hmm. Reagan could really deliver. See, like when we went to Normandy and gave the speech about the boys of Pointe-du-Hoc, and that was another one. I mean, he could really turn a phrase. You know, the wall speech, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I mean, good God. That's what... He could inspire like few other presidents before or since. I mean, I got to give it to Roosevelt, even though I didn't like his presidency and the way he ran. He had that capability too, the ability to turn a phrase and give a speech. Roosevelt had it. Reagan had it. Even Lyndon Johnson, to a degree, had it. He knew how to give a speech. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was, good. I mean, he wasn't great, but he was good. So yeah, the presidents who can do that really have that goes a long way to this being able to implement their agenda.
Yeah, and you have to have that ability, or you just, you know, and Biden doesn't have that ability. That's for damn sure.
Well, not even a bit. Hell, Obama had it to a certain degree.
Yeah, he did.
Even though he was a complete fraud, and it kind of rang true to me because I knew about. See, I was unable to separate what I knew about him being fraudulent from his speech, but I had a degree, he had a great voice, and he knew how to employ that voice in the speech making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, he did.
So, you know, all presidents have got that ability, and in an age of, you know, instant communications and, you know, radio and television and all that, that's a valuable skill to have. It wasn't as important as when, say, Abraham Lincoln was president, who could give, who had, probably was the greatest speech maker of any president that has ever lived, but they say his voice is rather odd, nasal, and Kentuckian.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it'd be kind of interesting to think about Abraham Lincoln in an age like today.
Yeah, I have to agree with that one, because I know that I've heard a lot of stuff about his voice and how it just really wasn't a good voice to listen to, but he did have some great speeches.
The Gettysburg Address is a model of succinctness and eloquence, almost unparalleled. I mean, how long was it? I mean, 178 words? I mean, it's, what it says in it is just perfect, pitch perfect. And he did it on a napkin while he was traveling on a train.
Yeah.
This is a man that had no real formal education.
Yeah.
And he put up something like that.
And then bringing a boy in the chat room says, W. Bush had a way with words and phrases. Fool me once, fool me twice, and then he had to watch out for that shoe.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, even George Bush came up with a turn of phrase every now and then, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say he was a great speech maker, he wasn't.
No.
But at the right time, it's good to have a president who can do that.
Yeah. And it's to me, it was absolutely great when Trump became president, because he kept saying things that would just set the left on fire, and they would just go off and say, well, he's going to get us in a war, and then all of a sudden he had us in peace treaties all over the place, and with people who had never signed peace treaties with each other before. And now what has happened with that?
Well, like you said, Donald Trump just set the left off, just made them just see, just make lose all sense of reason. And people say, well, that make any difference in the elect Republicans. They don't make no difference. They're all the same party. No, we would not be seeing any of this were the Republicans not in charge of the committees in the House. We wouldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
We would not know any of what has come out recently. So people who say that are just being contrarians.
Yeah.
You know, it is clear that just getting this information is valuable, if nothing else. Just knowing this now, to be confirmed,
mm-hmm.
you know, by under oath testimony, because they can put people under oath and get them to tell the truth, is absolutely essential.
Well,
and we wouldn't know any of this stuff if it wasn't for the Republicans being in charge of these committees. We wouldn't know any about what James Comer is uncovering with regard to the Hunter Biden financial transaction if James Comer wasn't in charge of that committee in the House. We wouldn't know any
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, now they're all crying that they're victims. I know Lou Grisham here in our state, one of the things that has happened with this HR7 that I had told you that she passed, she's been labeled as a murderer. Because she allows abortion all the way up to the day of birth, and even beyond that, if possible, and she's been labeled as a murderer. Now she's playing the victim card.
Yeah. Well, the only way to prevent that sort of thing is to amend the Constitution, unfortunately, because I mean I don't understand how a child emerging from the womb at 9 months of gestation, to kill them even if their head is still in the birth canal, isn't murder. I'll never be able to accept that as not being functionally murder. I never will. I don't care what they say. But look, right now it's in the hands of the states to do it.
No, I think it's really, really awesome. Like here in New Mexico, the southern part of New Mexico has been pretty, pretty conservative over the years. And They're the ones who have actually gone against Lujan Grisham on her stuff because she wants to bring in all these abortion clinics from other states, and she's saying, come on in, we'll take care of you. Well, Lee County down in southern New Mexico and a couple of the other ones down there have suddenly decided, nope, this ain't going to happen. And they've made themselves sanctuary counties and cities to keep these people out. Well, now, one of the laws that Grisham just got through signing was one that says the local governments cannot do that. Well, yes, they can. And the Constitution of New Mexico even says so.
So, well, what does the Constitution of New Mexico say with regard to that issue?
Well, it says that if she passes the law, they have a certain amount of time for the people to come out and do put petitions to put that law to a stop. And I've got a copy of the Constitution here, and I'm not exactly sure where it is in there, but there are Article 2 in the Bill of Rights that says you have the supreme law of the land, popular sovereignty, right of self-government, inherent rights, the right to bear arms, which is something that our governor is trying to take away from us, all kinds of freedom of elections and all this stuff, and she's trying to take all those away. Well, it's in our Constitution. But one of the things in the Constitution says if she passes a bad law, the people have the right to come out and say, no, this is not going to work, and you're going to get rid of it. And I think I've got Sarge I got somebody else here. I think it's Joseph. Hey, Joseph, you there?
No, it's Bianchi. What's going on, y'all? Sarge,
hey.
I just emailed you that.
Hey, Bob,
I just text you that convention of state information. I want to see you go ahead and sign that petition.
They already have.
Hey, I'll do it.
They already have.
Okay. But you're right about that governor in New Mexico. She want to put a abortion clinic right on the border where people can come out of Texas. And I never in my life can imagine why in the world so many people are so fascinated by killing a baby. Why is that?
I have no idea. I think it's just plain and simple evil, but I don't know.
Oh, teacher, let me call on me, teacher. I can answer that one. Here's why. Remember, the object of the progressive Marxist left is to undermine every institution in the country. One of those is motherhood. Mother, being a mother is not as important as working for a soulless corporation. Why do you think so many of these soulless corporations offer abortions for free for the female employees? Because that way, they don't have to pay for health care for the kid. See? Said the mother doesn't have to take that time off on maternity leave. See? That's one reason. It's not the only reason, of course. But motherhood is nowhere near as important as some woman working for a soulless corporation for 20 or 30 years. Motherhood should take a back seat to that. So abortion is more important. You want to go to college and get a JD degree or a juris degree in law? That's more important than being a mother. Kill your baby. They're in the way.
Well, now Joe Biden want to punish you if you got a good credit rating.
Yeah, that was just
everything that should be down is up, and everything that should be up is down, to paraphrase Al Gore. Everything. They are turning every concept of good and evil on its head. They are incentivizing everything they shouldn't and disincentivizing everything that they should.
Mm-hmm. Bringing a Boy says in the chat room, there's an act by a state finding a federal law unconstitutional and declaring it void and unenforceable in that state, a nullification. Well, the problem with New Mexico is that New Mexico's law says that there are certain things that you can and cannot do, and the governor is going against that, and the state is starting to fight against her. And one of the things that's always been sure about in this is the southern part of the state has been conservative. Up here by Albuquerque has been totally liberal. Well, right on the other side of the mountain here, We have a town called Edgewood. And on Tuesday, they're going to be voting on a pro-life amendment to make them a sanctuary city for pro-life. Well, it's moving that thing way up. And I love it.
Well, bring it, the man, and it's exactly right. If it's unconstitutional, you can nullify it. Same thing. Courts aren't supposed to make laws.
And you
have judges say that you...
excuse me. My canine friends remind me I haven't fed him at his feeding time. Let me go take care of him. I'll be right back. You guys keep on chatting there.
Yeah. And see, one of the big problems, the big mistakes is you don't teach your kids.
Mm-hmm.
See, conservatives have been lazy. They've been enjoying the good life, the life of Riley. But you have to teach those young people, starting off young. Heck, I used to have mine and grandkids at the house on Saturday at 11 o'clock to 1. They studied everything. They watched videos.
Don't
remind
me.
So that's something you have to do.
He ain't lying.
That's my grandson coming in to do something.
Well, you know, that's the problem with the American people for such a long time. It's like when Reagan won, what the conservatives did was they went back and started living their own lives. They just shut down, just went back to living their own lives instead of continuing to fight.
You got to, I taught mine watched videos and documentary on every war. We started off with Oliver Cromwell over in England.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the beginning of this idealistic thought. Every war, they won't tear down those statues. You know why? Because they know those statues are of American soldiers. And that's what
mm-hmm.
they've done. They fought in wars. They ain't going to tear down no General Lee statue. He was an American soldier. No Stonewall Jackson. Surely not going to tear down nothing in commemoration of George S. Patton. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah. He was a great one.
So if you don't tell me then, you know, I hear people say, get out and tell people to vote. Vote for what? You not tell them to go. I only tell them to go to vote, but you tell them how to vote. And that's totally backwards. You're not just supposed to vote for someone and sit back and watch and see what happens. You're supposed to have picked them, chose them, told them what you want to do, finance them, then vote for them. And if they don't do it, kick their butts out.
Yeah. And it's gotten to the point now where if you're a parent, you kick the kid, you know, you spank your kid, you're bound to get in trouble. Which is
yeah.
wrong.
The federal government is completely out of control. The federal government is not supposed to own land. Here, Brandon, Biden just issued leases, permits, to explore for oil there in the Willow in Alaska. And
mm-hmm.
I had a report that the federal government stands to earn $11 billion off of that. Well, that money should be going to the state of Alaska to distribute amongst its people. Could you imagine how better off some of these states would be if they controlled that land and the
mm-hmm.
and the revenue generated off those activities would go back to the state and the people?
Yeah, it would help a lot of the states. I don't think the federal government right now wants to help them.
No, you shouldn't have looked for the federal government to do that type of help. That should be coming from your local elected people.
Mm-hmm.
The state. Texas, any oil drilling and exploration going on out in the ocean within the boundaries of the state on either side, that revenue should come back to Texas, should come back to Louisiana, Georgia, all the states that's on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But it
and,
don't.
And, yep, and that's the same with the oil drilling like inside Texas. That should go to Texas.
So until these things start happening, ain't no telling where the hell you're going to be. All you know is going up and down and around and around. I mean, just think
yeah.
about the things that you And what I have to take an exception for today, because the things I'm witnessing today, I could not have ever imagined that we would be seeing things like this. I would have woke up in a cold sweat 30 years ago if I had a dream of today.
Oh, it would have been the most nightmare. I know my dad's probably turning over in his grave over what's going on.
Yeah. But no kidding, you need to get them grandkids over to the house, fix some pizza, and make it a scheduled occurrence that happens periodically, and teach them what's going on. Because it's just like the idiots over here in Tennessee want gun reform. The kids never wanted no damn gun reform. The kids wanted not be shot in school, killed in school. But you got these political activists that have taken that over. And look where it's at now. They're trying to pass gun reform, which in effect I can guarantee you would be unconstitutional because they don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't know what they want.
Well, plus the fact they're calling AR-15s, Biden said it was an AR-14, but AR-15s assault rifles. Well, that's not what AR stands for one thing.
Even though they haven't allowed us to see the tranny festo yet, according to people who have seen the tranny festo, that murderous freak said that he didn't attack one school because it's too well hardened. Remember?
Yeah. I remember.
But of course, we're just supposed to get, that's maybe another reason why they don't want to see the tranny festo.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, now isn't that something? Now isn't that something? They're withholding that from the public.
Yeah.
The last type of incidents like that where the shooter had a manifesto, yeah, they had it all in the paper the next day. So this
and
must
you know
go.
Why they did that, Bianchi? They did it because the shooter in the Louisville incident said he wanted to show how easy it was for a mentally ill person to get a gun. Now, whose agenda do you think that helps to advance? The people who want to preserve the Second Amendment or the people who want to infringe upon it?
Probably the people who want to infringe upon it.
Ding, ding, precisely.
Well, I'm going to tell you something else. Like I said, people should wear them damn guns. Women, wear your gun. Women need to have three weapons. They need to have a gun on their hip. They need to have a derringer in their bra. And they need to have a six-inch hat pin in their hair. Wear their weapons.
Yep.
And the hat pin can be pretty dangerous, too.
Arms are manifold in many different types. So that means right to bear arms. That would mean swords, dirks, daggers, firearms. Yes, arms.
If a man is on top of you and he think he's got you and you pull that damn pin out of your hat and stab him in the neck, that's your last offense right there. You got to use them all. You're a female. You're not no transvestite. You're a God-made female. You're going to be weaker than the average male.
Yeah. Well, we have seen now. What's going on in this transgender sports controversy? I mean, can you ever imagine this would have ever been a controversy? Again, I got to keep reminding folks, the only reason why this transgenders in sports is even a controversy is because we bought into the lie that a woman can do everything just as well as a man can or better. So that's probably true for most things, but not with competitive athletics involving speed, strength, and power. Competitive female athletes are always inferior to males. But since we have to accept the lie that that's not true, that women are the equal of men in every single thing, then a transgender man shouldn't have any significant advantage inherently over a woman. Because we bought into a lie, we can't tell the truth as to why women's sports were created in the first place.
Yep.
See, this is what happens when you can't tell the truth about things. Everything gets distorted. And you definitely better not say men are superior to women in anything. Don't you dare. We'll counsel you if you do. That's why we're here at the stage where we're at now, because we can't tell the truth.
That's for sure. And then if you do, you get in trouble.
Yeah, you see where you had this black father fed his toddler to a damn alligator?
What'd he say? What'd he say?
You had a black father in Florida that fed his toddler to an alligator.
His what to an alligator?
His son.
He said his son is an alligator?
He fed his son to an alligator.
He fed his son to an alligator?
Yes, I sent you the story.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, I haven't read
it
yet.
The thing is,
the guy, was he an Aztec? Was he in a child sacrifice or what?
I don't know what the hell was wrong with him, but it happened. You know, they used to tell blacks that whites used to use black babies for alligator bait. Well, anybody know anything about alligators, that don't work. That's why the alligator did not consume this child all the way. His feet were still hanging out of the child's mouth is how the police found him.
Yep.
Oh, Lord have mercy, man. I tell you, I tell you one thing, though. At least this father, this murderous father, who I would hope gets the death penalty, assuming he's not found to be legally insane, at least he had a function for the baby, provide food for an animal. I mean, what do they do in abortion clinics? They throw them away.
Well, one of the
things... It'll be disposed of.
One of the things that's going on here is I had never heard about this one, and it's probably because the father was black. If he'd have been white.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Let a white person do it. They got skywriters all in the sky writing about it.
Yeah, it shows you how to wear white people.
But if a black person do it,
man.
Black person do it, you ain't going to hear nothing. Look at that one black man that shot them three whites. The little girl's ball rolled over in his yard. And he jumps to the door with a gun. The father jumps over to get him. He shot all three of them.
Bjorgi, we got a major institution in this country dedicated to child sacrifice. Millions of babies a year. Millions.
Look at that mob of black men.
Again, we can't say that. Don't you dare say it's child sacrifice. It's a choice.
Look at the mob.
It's a choice.
Look at the mob of black men that jumped at white woman, attacked the white woman in Chicago. Well, why come they not call that a hate crime? But yet and still, that's what I'm saying. Women need
because
to carry
them. Because black people can't be guilty of racism. They can't call it a hate crime. It's simple. It's logical.
A woman should have carried her weapons, and she had a hand. What I recommend, she could have got them off of her real quick.
Yep.
Well, she was kind of being mobbed. At that point, it's kind of difficult. Well, unless of course, you count on the shots to scatter the group, because when they're on you that close, you might get two or three of them, but if they're determined to get you, they're going to wrest that gun away from you. The thing about it is, when they get to the point.
I think she could have got her money's worth.
Oh, yeah, she could have got a few of them anyway. Now, that's if they're not goal-oriented. If someone isn't goal-oriented, yeah, they hear the shots, they're going to start scattering in all directions, which probably this group would have been determined to scatter in all directions and run away. But a goal-oriented group, when you're in that kind of a mob on top of you, they're willing to take the losses to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in that group, if it was a bunch of crazy, stupid teenagers, for the most part, they probably would have scattered. Yeah, I'll grant you that. Yeah, probably. Oh, by the way, Pionki, did you see that combat footage I sent you of that fight in Ukraine, that trench fight?
Yeah, I got to finish looking at it.
I tell you, it is about the most amazing combat footage I've ever seen. I mean, that squad leader, that Ukrainian squad or platoon leader, whatever he is, a stud. They could show that video clip in West Point to instruct officer leaders, small unit leaders, how to conduct a small unit defensive action. That is absolutely pitch perfect. That squad or platoon leader ought to get some kind of high, whatever high decoration Ukraine's got to give a soldier, they ought to give to this that squad leader. I've never seen such presence of mind, the ability to command and direct his troops, to orchestrate them, move them around, to personally take charge in repulsing a great deal of the counterattack, and for that, for them to be catching the combatants in the same frame is what really made it remarkable. You will rarely see combat footage that captures the combatants in the same frame for an extended period of time. That's what's so remarkable about it. Mm-hmm. They're going to be showing that in West Point as a model of how to conduct a small unit defensive action.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get that. Look at that one.
I'll send you a link to it if you want me to so you can see it.
That would be great.
It is really remarkable. It really is remarkable. I mean, it is the most remarkable close combat war footage I've ever seen anywhere. And like I said, this is a close assault because they're within a final assault when you're within hand grenade range, you know, 30 or so meters. That's considered the final assault. And they were, you can see the Russians hurling hand grenades at them as they're assaulting their trench. It's really a remarkable piece of footage. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch.
I'll send it to you. And like I said, if you want an example of how to conduct a small unit defensive action, whoever this Ukrainian squad leader or platoon leader is, whatever he was, it is just remarkable. And they need to end that war because that war is so god awful. It needs to end. Destruction on both sides is completely unnecessary, but you got to admire the courage exhibited by both sides. And this is a sterling example of soldiers' courage in battle. It really is. I mean, it is. Hey, I'm going to put the link to it in your chat room right now.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
So you'll be able to go to it and look at it for yourself, but I'm sure you will agree with my assessment.
I probably will. Okay. And I see it there.
You see it?
Yep. I see
it. Okay, you watch it for yourself, man. It's just the most, like I said, I've seen a lot of combat footage. I can only think of three times I've ever seen the combatants in the same frame for any period of time in all the war footage I've ever seen. And that was during a breakout from, I think, Smolensk, Vyazma, when the Germans had Soviets encircled. In this encirclement battle, they took 330,000 prisoners, and some of the members of one of the Russian army groups were trying to break out of the encirclement, and they're in convoy, and the Germans are in ambush. They're ambushing the convoys that roll through, and you can see them shooting at them. Germans in the foreground shooting at them, and the Russians are in the background in their trucks trying to get through the gauntlet. And the other one was at Tarawa. When the Marines were fighting the Japanese at Tarawa, there's a group of Japanese Marines breaking cover and running across an open clearing, and the Marines are engaging them at relatively close range, probably about 20, 30 meters. They're shooting at them, and the Japanese are breaking cover, trying to get to another position. And that's the only two I can think of, really.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you, this is even more extended than that. I mean, it is... It is something. I guess he got it with his helmet cam. He had a helmet cam on.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to get in there now. It's on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what this is, they didn't cut it. They didn't blur it out or anything.
I'm going to find another way to see it because he keeps asking me to sign in to confirm my age. Won't let me sign in because I've been knocked off of YouTube.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you'll be able to find it somewhere on the web because it's pretty, you know, people who've seen it are posting all over the place because it's at Bakhmut, actually. And they're posting it all over the place because it's so remarkable. It's so distinctive.
Yeah,
I think they call it Defending the Road of Life at Bakhmut.
Yeah, Defending the Road of Life, Bakhmut. That they got it on
And like I said, this squad leader is just a stud. I mean, if anybody should get the highest decoration or one of the highest, Ukraine's got to offer its soldiers, and he ought to get it.
Yeah. Let's see if it's on, nope, it's not on Rumble, so I'm going to have to find someplace else for it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you'll be able to find it, but once you see it, you'll agree with me. It's about 11 minutes, just over 11 minutes long.
Yeah, it showed it was like 11 minutes, 19 seconds, or something like that. Yeah, it showed it was 11 minutes, 19 seconds, so it's not that long, so. That's
really quite remarkable. But like I said, no matter how remarkable that footage is, that war needs to come to an end. This is totally unnecessary. Yeah. They could have settled this a month after the invasion if Joe Biden hadn't interfered. They were willing to work out a settlement between the Russians, and I believe it was Turks who were going to broker it.
Mm-hmm.
Some country's going to broker it. You know, kind of like when Roosevelt did the Russo-Japanese War in 1905?
Yeah.
He was able to help bring it to a conclusion. You know, but Joe Biden didn't want that. They want Ukraine to be the little laundromat where they can launder money through. So they didn't want a settlement. They'd rather, sacrifice Ukraine to the last Ukrainian.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. This world has just gone so insane lately. One of the things that I had was talking about our governor here in the state of New Mexico, how she has called herself a victim. Well, New Mexico's, here's another thing that shows how bad this state is. New Mexico's all Democrat U.S. House delegation votes again protecting women in sports. Every one of them.
It's astounding, man. And the way they can turn the issue around and make their opposition the bad guys. Here are men dominating women's sports, and they're saying they're protecting women.
Yeah,
and they're allowing men to dominate women's sports, even injured them, like that woman who couldn't return that male basketball player's, volleyball player's spike. I mean, men have so much more power than women do, and their reflexes are really, for the most part, faster. And he put that spike on her, and it powered that ball in her head, knocked her down and out. She's still suffering from concussion after it was over.
And then that Riley Gaines,
she didn't
when
even
she
get her
came
hands
out,
up in time to block the ball.
Yeah, and then that Riley Gaines, when she came out against that, she's suddenly the bad guy. Well, this is totally ridiculous. She's not the bad guy here.
You know, this is kind of like, you know, when you put up a competitive man against a competitive woman, it's roughly akin to having an NFL pro football team, even the worst one, even the New York Jets, against a good high school varsity team. That's roughly what it's comparable to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have a prayer of winning, not even a prayer. And everybody knows they could go up against a male junior varsity high school team, put it up against the worst NFL pro team ever in the history of pro football, and they wouldn't have a prayer. That's roughly what this transgender thing in sports is comparable to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just completely non-competitive and unfair.
It's like this so-called Leah Thomas. Now, I think the best he could do against men was like 245th, and so he decided, I've just become a woman.
Against men, he's like 245th. And he just dominates women's leagues, just dominating the women's swim sports.
And they constantly talk about how great he is. No, he's just a big coward is all he is.
I don't know if he's cowardly or not. I know he's delusional.
Very, very delusional.
Maybe cowardly, but he's certainly delusional. I mean, he's not a woman. He'll never be a woman. He cannot be a woman. He's not God.
Nope. This is just like I said at the beginning of the show. We do not have the technology to do that.
No. Not unless you could transform every single cell in his body to XX. That's the only way you can do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and even if he goes through all of the surgeries and gets everything done, once he dies, his DNA is going to tell on him.
Yeah. There's no way around it. The morphology of his skeleton is going to tell on him.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do about it. There won't be any of those surgically altered parts that will be left. They will be forever lost to autolysis, decomposition. Then the only thing that'll be left is the bones, and they will tell everything that needs to be known.
Yep. And then people in the future are going to sit there and say, well, they call this guy a girl. He was definitely a guy.
Like I said, man, the bone marrow, the bones are going to have XXXY chromosomes. There's no getting around it. But if we, like I said, we're going to try to pretend we're gods. We can also alter the climate like God can too, you know. We're capable of doing that.
I've been rallying against that. I keep saying that if I had somebody who, like in Washington, D.C., would hear this show, I'd probably be in prison for the things I've said.
Well, they put a guy in prison for creating a funny meme about Democrat voters. They literally put Douglas Mackey in jail for it.
I heard about that.
No, they did. They did. They said he tried to interfere with an election by telling stupid Democrat voters the wrong date of the election. And they said that's election interference. Now, remember, they said the same thing in 2000 with the butterfly ballots, too, remember?
Yeah,
but Democrats were saying that about Democrats then. Well, Democrats are so stupid, they can't tell where to actually put the mark on the ballot. Remember?
Yep, I remember the hanging chad, too.
All that nonsense. But Democrat votes are so stupid, they can't tell the difference. So, you know, we got to have a do-over for the election in Florida.
Yeah, that's what they keep saying.
God, man.
If it goes the
Everything
other way, the
they
other...
do is projection.
Yeah, and if it goes the other way, there's no evidence about it.
Man, oh, man, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be really hard to be a Democrat these days to come up with more outrageous things. But the one, they're lousy at governing. They cannot govern for the prosperity of people. They can govern for the prosperity of select groups and the elites. But for the general well-being of the population, they cannot do it. But they can steal elections, and they certainly know how to gin up outrage and keep people aggrieved. They have a talent for that like no other group of people ever in the history of the United States.
Yep. And then when it goes against them, they're just like the governor here in the state. You know, when something goes against her, she's a victim. Well, that's when the victim card comes out, when things go against them.
Yeah. You heard Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You heard what she said the other day about defunding. Why do they want to defund everything but the most militaristic branch of government, the police? You know, because the police keep order, and no society survives without anarchy if you don't have police. That's why. I mean, we can do without social workers and a few other things. We can't do without police. No society can. We witness what happens just when they're a bit attenuated like they are in Chicago. I mean, the police is still there. It's just that their influence is so weakened, a bunch of teenagers can literally take over the loop.
Yeah, then the
now,
new mayor
if they
says,
weren't there, think of what might have happened if they weren't there at all. For 3 days, they ran rampage and rout with a police force. Now, think of what would be if it was a significantly diminished police force or none at all.
Yep, and their new mayor now says you cannot demonize children. Well, I'm sorry, these were not children.
They were demons. Excuse me. I'm going to demonize demons. They were like, what's it called? The evil seed? Remember that horror movie, the black and white horror movie about the evil children?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what they call it, demon seed? Was that it?
Yeah,
they were
demon
seed. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going to demonize demon seeds. You do what you want to, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson.
Oh, I thought there for a while we couldn't get any worse than Lori Lightfoot. Well, looks like
Lori Lightfoot looks like Rudy Giuliani compared to this guy.
Yeah, and we've got a whole bunch of years coming up with him in there. So, poor Chicago.
Now he's just looking for a way to rationalize disorder. And right now, the problem with the city of Chicago is it's in the throes of disorder. And he spoke up directly for disorder to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Really the most remarkable thing I think I've ever seen in Chicago politics. I remember what they got on Richard J. Daley for what he said during the riots in Chicago. He said he's going to have the cops shoot arsonists because, you know, after all, now if somebody is trying to burn up a building full of people, well, with a firebomb, well, that is a legitimate reason to use deadly force against that individual if the building's occupied.
Yep.
Because you can burn the people up in it. But I remember all the outrage it caused at the time. Like he's talking about this setting a fire in a trash can.
Yeah.
I mean, these leftists, man, their tactics, I mean, look, I've got decades now watching their tactics. They can't fool me with none of it. I'm sorry. None of it works with me. It may work with people who are unfamiliar with it, and maybe even a few useful idiots who probably mean well, but they don't know any better because they're not well-schooled in the tactics of leftists and Bolsheviks. But I'm sorry, I've seen them too much in action for far too long for anything they do to fool me. Any of their pat phrases about oppression and no opportunity and all the other jive, it ain't working with me.
Well, it shouldn't work with anybody because their narrative is the same all the time. They've got about three or four different things they use, but it's always exactly the same. You know,
yeah,
they just kind of alternate between the...
Yeah, they just recycle them and modify them a little bit. And, you know, they come out again like it's some sort of profound new thought.
And it's not.
No, but it does have a lengthy playbook going back at least over a century, back to 1917, but actually probably mm-hmm. back to the French Revolution when it first really had its modern iteration. I'd say mm-hmm. it really got started about the time of the French Revolution back in 1798. Mm-hmm. But, we got our updated version of it. Listen to the Democratic National Committee and, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the squad and all the rest of them, Hakeem Jeffries and what's his name, the Swalwell and Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and all the rest of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that I was with the incarnation of the leftist stuff that they're doing now, that's what they're doing now actually started right around the 1920s with what they're doing right now. And they've been just constantly going with it ever since then.
About every
10 years, they hit us with the same thing, you know, because in the 1920s, they hit us with the global warming stuff. And then it was like in the 1930, after World War II, about 35, well, actually, it was 1935, I think. And then after World War II, and then it was in the 50s, and then it was in the 60s, and then it was in the 70s. And they've hit us with the same thing almost every 10 years.
Yeah. You remember when the fall of the Soviet Union and that author named Francis Fukuyama was talking about the end of history? Remember that? In the fall of the Soviet Union signaled the end of history. Well, he was wrong about that.
Yeah.
He was definitely wrong about that. Because there was an interregnum where the left was truly crestfallen about the mm-hmm. end of the Soviet Union. Because the Soviet Union was a counterweight to the West and free market capitalism. And that really did upset them. The failure of the Soviet system, because after all, you know, communism cannot fail in and of its own. It's only because of two things. Number one, the capitalist West, led by elements of the CIA, wind up destroying any socialist movement in the world and preventing it from coming to realization. That's number one. They believe that with a passion. And number two, the wrong people were just in charge of it. So that's the only two reasons that, socialism and communism never really works well. You know, it's just the wrong people in charge, and the West sabotaged it. See? Now, it doesn't matter that it's not in consonance with human nature. Because, you know, there was no one originator to free market capitalism and free markets, because it goes along with human nature. This is the way human beings, other than conquest, structure their relationships. They make deals. They come to agreements. They form formal and informal contracts. This is part of human nature. This is consonant with human nature. Marxism was created by an individual named Karl Marx. Okay? A maladjusted, psychotic, neurotic human being who is really a horrible person. He hated humanity and himself. And his philosophies exactly recreate those neuroses, along with the love of tyranny and centralized control. But free market, there is no inventor. You can't name the individual who came up with capitalism or free market economics. It's just something that grew organically out of the interaction between peoples.
Yep.
And that's what's significantly different about it. The closest I can think of to a progenitor of capitalism and free markets is Adam Smith. But all he did was describe it. He didn't create it. In The Wealth of Nations, when he wrote that book called Wealth of Nations in the 17th century, well, all he was doing was describing a system that existed long before he was born and what makes it work and how it works. Because free market economics basically, in all of its various permutations, arises out of the natural interactions that are voluntary between people. I'm not talking about conquest and war and enslavement, because that's not part of free markets. Obviously, the word free is what's in there. Free markets arise out of people coming to voluntary arrangements about economic transactions.
Yep.
And there is no one person that developed it. It came out of our basic human nature to cooperate with each other and to mutually benefit each other. You've got something I want. I'm willing to pay you something you think of that is of value for what you have, whether it's a good or a service.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep saying, communism, Marxism is not consonant with human nature. Free markets and liberty is. That's why they can't make it work anywhere. They got to force people into it.
Absolutely. I was trying to find an article about something that we had talked about that I had here that and I just can't find it. Kind of makes me upset.
What is that? You're looking for an article? What was the article about?
It was about pretty much what you were talking about, and I just can't find it.
What you mean? What I was just talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, well, all I gotta do is open up Wealth of Nations, man. Just open up anywhere in the book, and just point the quote in there, and that's it. The whole Wealth of Nations is full of observations about the nature of free market transactions.
Yep, and the free market has to be there for America to work the way it is, the way it always has.
Like I said, all he was doing was describing it. It pre-existed him by centuries. He didn't create it. He didn't originate it.
Nope.
I mean, it was on the trade route with Marco Polo. You know, to some extent, it existed among the Romans, even though conquest was a great deal of what they did. But once they established their vassal states, they still had a form of free markets and trade, because they knew they couldn't completely colonize all these lands they conquered. So they had to have the people voluntarily manufacture things that Rome could use, and if they had a complete heel on their boot, well, they wouldn't be as cooperative. So even with the Romans, they had free market existence. I mean, you know, between great empires, it was certainly free market and trade when they weren't having wars with each other. And, you know, wherever you go, free markets just organically spring up.
Yeah. One of the things that I wanted to talk about. I found something out about this stuff, the evacuation plans for Americans in Sudan. And the thing I'd found was probably about 6 hours before I did the show. And it was from Newsmax. It said, White House, no evacuation plans for all Americans in Sudan. Have you heard anything else about that one?
Well, first of all, think about that phrase. Now, they know trouble is coming, right?
Right.
The one thing that the administration, any presidential administration never has to do is to be prepared for contingency operations to evacuate American citizens from anywhere in the world in the case of trouble where they need to be protected. That is like, that's what you do automatically. You get the plans in gear right away. You don't have to get permission from Congress or anything. This is commander-in-chief shit, you know what I mean? Commander-in-chief has got nearly total control over this. You know, you don't have to go to Congress for nothing. So you would think you would have, you know, Mr. Potato Head that don't know how to do anything, but his advisors at least would say, Mr. President, we got these plans in motion in case thousands of American citizens, in this case 13,000 of them, are imperiled by what's going on in Sudan. But all of a sudden, they got no plans. They got no plans. Now, they got plans to evacuate diplomats in the embassies. It looks like they did that. But the rest of them, hell, you're on your own.
Yeah, I just found thing from...
That I found right without knowing anything else. I knew right away we're dealing with an administration that's not worthy of the title of administration. Because on this, they've got near complete plenary power.
Yeah, I just found a thing from Truth Social that says U.S. military evacuates embassy staff from war-torn Sudan. So they got those guys.
The rest of you Americans, you're on your own. Don't count on us. We ain't responsible for you. What are you doing over there in the first place?
Yeah, just like Afghanistan. The Americans had to stay, but they got out the people they needed to get out.
Man, I swear, man, this is just so sick. This administration is so incompetent, so useless. I don't. Cannot think of anything redeeming to say about this presidency. I mean, even Obama, as bad as he was before it was Biden, I thought Obama was the worst president in the history of the United States. But now Biden is taking it by orders of magnitude. He's taking that title.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that they kept talking about was a couple of years ago was the amount of people that have died because of the Clinton machine. I wonder how many have died because of the Biden machine.
You know, I mean, I don't know, but I just find it incomprehensible that you would think in order to cover their asses, rather than say, we don't have a plan to evacuate American citizens in a civil war in another nation where the government clearly cannot protect them, you expect to say, well, there are plans that are underway, and we're looking into and implementing those plans right now. I mean, to say they don't have any plans, oh, man, that kind of government like that is frightening. It's frightening to think it's actually in control. It's frightening.
You know, to think they can be so arrogant that they think that that's not going to come against them, it just...
Because they don't really, you know, this administration does not know what its real function is supposed to be. What it was constitutionally empowered to do. It has no idea. It thinks it's to implement the Green New Deal and the forgive student loans or crap like that. Not its real, most important, not to protect the borders, not to see that the economy doesn't go to hell in hands, to spend us in a ruin. No, that's what they think that's their job is, not to perform the functions of national security and protecting our diplomatic establishments overseas. No, that isn't that important for them to be worried about. Climate change and your gas stove and the kind of car you drive, now that is of great import to them.
Well, they can forget about it. They ain't coming for my car.
Well, they're coming for it. The question is, will they get it?
No, they ain't going to get mine. I've worked long and hard to get what I've got, and I ain't going to let them get it.
Well, what's going to happen to your car when you can't get any gasoline for it?
It'll probably sit there, but I'll keep it all nice and shiny.
Yeah. Maybe I'll figure out a way. I know what I can do. I've already made plans for it. I'm going to convert it to I can find one of them old engines take the engine out of my car and convert it to burning charcoal. You know, like during World War II, they converted all kind of vehicles to burn charcoal.
Yeah.
And charcoal and all wood and all that stuff. I mean, it won't run as well as smoothly or as powerfully, but at least it'll be able to get around maybe up to 40, 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, they've got a thing that I could buy for like $199 that I could buy for my car to make it a hydrogen car.
Well, hydrogen is great, but extraction
I think it's what makes it so it'll run off of water and it separates the water out so it's hydrogen.
It doesn't really run off the water. It runs off hydrogen that you separate out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's ways to do that. I've seen the hydrolysis or whatever it is to extract the hydrogen from the water.
Yeah.
I know it's feasible, but, you know, I'm not sure how readily available that's going to be. You know, it can be done, though. It can be done.
Yeah, I was looking on YouTube the other day, and it wasn't something that I needed to show my age or anything for, but there was a bunch of stuff on there on how to buy these things to put them on your car and how to put them on your car to make them run with that way. And I thought, that's an interesting concept.
Well, you got to remember, look, internal combustion engine just needs a source of combustible fuel. That's all. All that stuff on top of the engine is the engine management system. I mean, the internal combustion engine ran just fine without microprocessors and computers and all this other stuff. The first internal combustion engine that came out, the only electrical system on them was a magneto.
Yeah.
Right? The magneto made the engine run, provided the spark to fire the engine. Okay?
And charge the battery.
So you got to remember, we can always go back to what was. It'd be a lot simpler. It won't be as efficient. The emissions would definitely be a lot greater. It wouldn't make as much power, but it would run because internal combustion is well over 100 years old. It was invented, I believe, in 1893 or 1898, and it hasn't changed. The internal combustion engine, in the essential way it operates, suck, squeeze, bang, blow, that has not changed since it was invented. The four-cycle engine, four-stroke engine. That ain't changed. It's exactly the same as 1893. Now, the stuff on top of it has, we got fuel injection and closed-loop systems with sensors making feedback to the computer, which provides alteration in spark timing, fuel mixture, the valve clearances, all this other stuff. Okay, the emission systems, all that stuff, the solenoid valves, open and purge the system. Okay, all that stuff is modern and new. But you don't need it to make an internal combustion engine work. All you basically need is some sort of fuel delivery system. Through a simple venturi like a carburetor will work just fine. The pistons go up and down the same way as they always did. You need a spark to fire at the right time. When the piston gets up to the top of the travel in the cylinder and ignites it with the cylinder closed, boom, forces the piston back down, turns the crankshaft. That's all.
That's it.
Well, so all I'm saying is all we got to do is go back to something that simple and we can still drive around.
Yep.
All you got to do is find something that will burn fuel, and diesel fuel is basically just refined kerosene. Hell, you can run, they got diesels that are run off of vegetable oil or strained motor oil, you know, mixed with a little bit of gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
They got something completely off of vegetable oil, diesels. Now, it got to be a diesel because you got to get a lot of compression to get it hot enough to ignite.
Yeah.
Then you don't need a spark plug, or you don't even really need an electrical system at all. Once it gets going, the only thing that makes it turn off is either it comes out with a lack of fuel, or you pull the shutoff valve to cut the air off to the cylinder so it can't ignite.
Yep.
So there's ways around, no matter what these people do to us, we'll find a way around it.
Yep. There's always going to be a way around it because, you know, and that's... And the one thing that is actually helping us is the fact that the Democrats and the government are not even thinking about these other things that can be done. They're just thinking about one way, and that's the way they want it, and they don't care about anything else.
Number one, they want control. Number two, they want to make big bucks for their donors, supporters, and their cronies, and the mm-hmm. oligarchs that feed their party.
Yep. Absolutely.
As long as we remember that, we know what they're going to do.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I try and keep this show going. I've been doing this show since 2007 or something like that. And with Conservative Nation Media, I've been with them since 2013. So it's something I keep trying to keep here. You know, Conservative Nation Media actually a couple of years ago just totally disappeared. And I'm the one who brought it back. And I'm in the process of trying to keep it around now because I'm the one who's paying the bills for it and paying Blog Talk Radio so I can do these two-hour shows or three-hour shows, whatever I do. And it's something that the reason for it is I just want to make sure that there's a way for the truth to get out there.
Well, you and all the other voices out there are doing the same thing. Cumulatively, I think, are having an effect. I think that people are tired of being force-fed propaganda and information that's contrary to their values and to the well-being of this nation as a whole. Things mm-hmm. that just form division between people, between groups of people, and only aggregate to the power of a relative few. We are headed for a fascist oligarchic moment unlike anything in American history if we don't arrest it. And that means this upcoming election in 2024 is as vital as every election. The stakes keep getting higher.
Yep. And then, and the left keeps saying, well, in 2016, you guys said that it was the biggest election of our lifetime. And then 2020, you said the same thing. And in 2024, you're saying the same thing. Well, of course it is because they keep upping the stakes.
Yeah,
and
they're just getting worse every single term. What was passed is prologue, even worse.
Yep.
So, yeah, every time we say that, it's true. It's not like with climate change, where they're always wrong.
Yeah, not once have they been right on that one.
Not once. I mean, their catalog of outright lies and ignorant truths and half-truths, it's really got to be a record. I mean, they are worse with that than they have been with COVID. And that's saying something.
And that was bad.
Yeah, that's saying something, man. I mean, that was about as bad as you can get until you look at their record on climate change. There's a thing they've been right about.
And yet it's still there.
They double down. I mean, this is like the 53rd Earth Day now. I think the 53rd anniversary of Earth Day just passed.
Yeah.
And you think of all the things they said that's supposed to have been happening, all of the predictions they made about all them Earth Days without a single one of them coming true. And it's just hard to think. It's just hard to think how we can give them any. Remember Paul Ehrlich and his population bomb? The battle of feed. Here's what he said. He said, the battle of feed, all humanity is over. In the 1970s, hundreds of millions of people will starve to death in spite of any crash programs embarked upon now. And he's still continuing to say this. There was Rachel Carson in Silent Spring. She warned mm-hmm. of cancer epidemic sparked by the use of pesticides. And pesticides use has risen, and rates of cancer incidence and mortality have been falling for the last 30 years.
Yep.
And then it was, the Club of Rome, 1972, Limits to Growth Report. That book said that, there was going to be non-renewable resource depletion calculations. And the oil crisis was widely taken as confirming these scenarios projecting the imminent end of renewable resource depletion, and it turns out that that's not true. They keep finding new oil reserves all the time. Right now,
yeah.
They project that current rates of usage, our current sources of oil will last at current rates without finding any new reserves. We got enough to last for 500 or 600 years. And there'll surely be a technological breakthrough to better that in the interim.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they just keep right on going. But they never stop to think that what they're saying is wrong. They just keep saying that, oh, we're right, even though we can't prove it. And they just keep going.
Yeah, I remember, and how they predicted the current ice age back in the early 70s. They're talking about the ice age is coming, and by 1985, the Earth would be covered under sheets of ice because of climate change.
And by the time 85 came around, it was getting hot again.
Yeah, they had to change it. Then they started calling it climate change. So that way they got all the bases covered. So if you see any normal cyclical climate changes, as has been the case throughout the history of the planet, then they can blame it on man-caused anthropogenic global warming.
Even though the worst of it was before mankind even had any influence on it.
These people are crazy. They are crazy. They're not right about anything, and nothing makes them stop because they're fanatics. They're not right about anything ever. They double down and demand more government control.
Yeah. That is true. Well,
who does that enrich? The people with stuff to sell to fundamentally transform the way we provide energy for the planet or on the planet.
Well, you know, this whole idea of making these electric cars, you know, if they would just do it the right way, keep doing the research on these things, and sooner or later they're going to come up with something that's going to work better if they would just work on it instead of just trying to push it on us before everything's been fixed yet. You know, we have these darn things sitting in the middle of a parking lot blowing up because they've gotten hot.
Do you remember who one of the finders of Earth Day was?
A guy named Ira Einhorn.
Remember what Ira Einhorn did? He murdered his girlfriend. He kept her body hidden in a closet for over a year. Then he ran to France to avoid arrest and prosecution. Remember that guy?
Yep,
there you go. That is typical. Man. I swear to God, one of the founders of Earth Day was a murderer who left the country to avoid being prosecuted.
Yep. And they don't mention anything like that in the media, although if it was a conservative who did something like that, it'd be 24/7 wall-to-wall coverage for months on end.
Hey, you want another incredible coincidence? April 20th,
sure.
1870. Guess who was born on that day?
April 20th?
Yeah, April 22nd, 1870.
I am not exactly sure.
Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. April 22nd is also Earth Day. Gee, what a coinkydink.
Huh.
Oh, man, I tell you, man. The clues are everywhere, aren't they?
Yep, they sure are. Yep, well... Pianki just left in the chat room. I don't know why he went off the phone, but he just left in the chat room, so it's just you and me now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we welcome Pianki to come on back. Come on, Pianki.
Yeah, once the second hour ended, if he wasn't on the phone, the show ended for him. And that's the problem with Blog Talk Radio. I've been working on getting a third hour going and having, I've got one of the guys who is here in New Mexico who ran for governor and didn't make it because he was a Republican. He is now running for congressman or senator for New Mexico here. And I've got him, he's going to be sending me a thing for so I can set up my hour three intro, and it's going to be using him. So I'm working on making this show a 3-hour show, and I've done quite a few of them lately, but I can remember when I first started this, it would take me all damn week to come up with a 2-hour show. And now I can do it in 30 minutes. Because there's so much out there.
Yeah, what do you think about, I know it's changing the subject a little bit. What do you think about, excuse me, I got a little allergy. I'm sneezing all of a sudden. What do you think about this Netflix cast? Excuse me again. Cleopatra is black, and some Egyptian is suing Netflix for casting her as a black woman.
Well, I think that's something that actually needs to be done, although back down in that area of the world, they're probably a lot blacker than a lot of people think.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't support censorship. I don't support Netflix has a right to betray Cleopatra is a Martian if they want to. That's their business. But
yeah.
The fact of the matter is that she was a Ptolemy, and the Ptolemy were an old Greek dynasty. Now, look, I've got, I've had 3 DNA tests on me, okay, 3, see if they would agree with each other, and they all do, except, excuse me again, in the term of percentages. Now, I've got 38% of my genetic ancestry is European, Northwest European, Irish, Scot, Wales, Saxon Germany, France, Finland, and Scotland, okay? But I consider myself to be black. But 38% of it is Caucasian ancestry. These people are every bit as part of me as my ancestors from Dahomey and Cameroon and Congo and Ghana. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're every bit as much my ancestors as are those people. But I consider myself to be black. Now, just because the Ptolemies might have had 2% sub-Saharan Negroid ancestry, I don't think would qualify them to be considered wholly sub-Saharan African. They're still Greeks.
Yeah.
And if you look at their visages on the coins, they look pretty Greek to me. So, I mean, like I said, I'm opposed to censorship. But nonetheless, to try to make this woman into a sub-Saharan African, like she's from Dahomey or Mali, is just ahistorical.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just...
She would have looked like a Greek today, more likely than not. You go there,
yeah.
You don't think of sub-Saharan Africans when you look at Greeks.
Yeah, well, you know, as you were talking about your ancestry, and
my ancestors are, and to a great extent, almost half of my genetic legacy is Northwest European.
Yep, and that's where mine is. My dad was full-blooded Finn, and my mom was German, Irish, Dutch, several others.
Well, I can certainly accept the French part because my grandfather was a Cajun. He was very dark-skinned, almost mahogany black.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke French. He sounded like that guy, what's his name, on Swamp People. Troy, I think his name was, you know. If you ever seen Swamp People, my grandfather sounded exactly like him. They had exactly the same accent and exactly the same. You could close your eyes and you think to listen to my grandfather. My grandfather was almost pitch-black mahogany. And he spoke French. He was a doughboy in the First World War. They used him as a runner and a translator because he could speak French. And he was in the 93rd Division assigned to a French unit. And he spoke Cajun French. I mean, he could speak well enough for the French so they could understand him readily.
Yeah.
And the DNA test showed I have like 8% French ancestry. And it lines up with my what I know of my grandfather and his side of the family.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and the German part, I know one of my great-grandmothers married a German immigrant. So there's that, probably from Bavaria. Saxon part of Germany. So there you go, that's part of that. And mm-hmm. in Scots, Wales, well, no, most black people who've got Caucasian ancestry is Scotland, Wales, Ireland. So, you know, it all lines up.
Yeah.
But like I said, I still consider myself to be black because that's the culture in which I was raised. And I know the genetics because it took all the white people in my genetic line to make me here. I would not be here without every single one of them who are in my direct line of ancestry. Just like the black people from sub-Saharan Africa. I took all of them to make me. Culturally, I consider myself to be black.
From what you said about your grandpa, he sounds like he would have been a neat person to know.
Man, my grandfather was one of the greatest men I ever knew in my life. He was so respected in the segregated South he grew up. He died at 104 years old.
Oh, wow.
He lived to be 104 years old. He was born, when he was born, the Ottoman Empire still exists. The Tsar was still on the throne. The Wright brothers hadn't made their first flight yet. Okay? Just think of what he saw when he died in 1985. He was 105 when he died. 104, 105. Just think of all the things he saw. He went from people, heavier than aircraft hadn't even been flown yet, to seeing man on the moon.
Wow.
And he lived significantly longer than that. And he was well respected for being the hardest working man in De Quincy, Louisiana. He was widely respected throughout town. He worked on his farm and as a railroad brakeman. He worked as a railroad brakeman. When he got off work, as a railroad brakeman, he went home to his farm, worked another 8 hours a day. He would get, on average, 6 hours sleep a night, get up, go to work, and work all day. He did that until even after he retired from the railroad, he kept working until he was 96-year-old, doing odd jobs, carpentry work, and everything else. He was one of the most vigorous men I ever knew in my life. Hardest working man I ever knew.
And as long as he stayed active, he was honesty. Fine.
Yeah, he was respected for his honesty, his integrity, and his hard work. And when he died, 400 people came to his funeral.
Wow.
He was the oldest living member of his VFW lodge. And 400 people of all races came to his funeral because he was so widely respected. He was one of the greatest men I ever knew. I love that man. And he had his finger shot off in the Meuse-Argonne in the First World War because he was fought in the Meuse-Argonne. And his finger got shot off. And I asked him, I said, Pop, what happened to your finger? And he was telling this story, I believe, for the longest time until I got older, about how he makes his real strong soap. And he'll make soap so strong he left his finger in the mixture too long and ate his finger off. He had me believing that when I was little. He had me believing that story. That's the kind of sense of humor he had. He had me believing that story for the longest time. And, of course, you know, when I went in the Army, he told me about his experiences in Meuse-Argonne. I was so glad for him to tell me about it. And it was amazing what he went through. He got the quad A gear, and, you know, I got pictures of him in his doughboy uniform and all that. He was a great guy. He was a great guy. I wish everybody could have known my pop. He was a fantastic.
Yeah, that would have been cool. You know, it's just, you talk about that. People like that just, like, come once in a lifetime. And I can remember when my brother was, like, 6 years old, he came home and was talking to my dad about the Alamo and Davy Crockett. And my dad got my brother in trouble for this, but he says, oh, me and Davy were great friends. Him and I fought at the Alamo together. And my brother says, well, why didn't you die there with him? He says, because I was smarter than old Davy because I got out. Well, my brother went to school and told all of his friends that. And, oh, he...
Yeah, I tell you, man, but like I said, man, just think of that. He survived the Meuse-Argonne. I used to go by the shed, and he had his helmet hanging up in there, and he had his web gear and a bayonet hanging up in there from the war. I used to always kind of wonder about that. And like I said, I asked him about his finger, and, like, I was young, and he told me that he had got ate off by the soap he made. And, like, for the longest time, I believed it.
Well, you remember the lye soap that they had, so it's
but
like,
then when
oh,
I, you know, when I saw him in his soap, you know, if he had a wound strike, back then they didn't have the Purple Heart. They weren't issuing a Purple Heart for wounds. They give you a wound strike. You wore it on your sleeve or your uniform.
Yeah.
And he had a wound strike on his uniform, and that's where he got it, when he had his finger shot off.
Yeah. And some of the, you know, and a lot of these people, they had so much knowledge that if people while they were still alive could ask them, you know, the things they knew, they would, the knowledge there is just amazing.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, on how to make, you know, how to raise, how to make food, how to repair a fence, how to build a shed or a barn. There wasn't any handyman job he couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew how to do everything. You know, butcher a cow, you know, chicken, take a hog down or whatever. I mean, he could just do everything. He probably one of them guys, if everything went to hell in a handbasket, he could survive. He could keep people on the farm and survive with the subsistence stuff.
Yep. That was my dad,
every
my grandfather,
go,
too.
We used to leave Chicago because he was my mother's father, and we go down there to Louisiana to visit him on his farm. Those were among the best days of my life. I mean, every summer we went down there to visit him in De Quincey, Louisiana, and those were the best days of my life, among the best days of my life. I remember very fondly being on the farm with him. And he had that kind of old-world wisdom that just is, you just don't find anywhere anymore.
Yeah, and
that kind of common sense morality and devotion to duty and hard work that you just don't find anymore.
Oh, you really don't. And you people like that, they'd sit down and start telling a story, and these kids would just show up from everywhere, get down on the floor and just listen. Like, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. And now you can't get anybody to listen to anything anymore.
He's just a hard-working man. I mean, just the hardest-working guy and it was just a joy to be around with all his cock and bull stories. And he had this just sardonic, dry sense of humor. Always fun to be with. Kindly. Just a wonderful, marvelous man. Although, there was a story about him that, this white man tried to intimidate him one day and tried to pick on him. And he pulled out his knife and cut him up badly. And when he went to when he got arrested and he had to go to trial for injuring this white man, the judge heard the story from the guy who was known to be a no-good reprobate, this white guy. And the judge said, well, I don't know about you, but I know Mr. Landry, and I'm going to find him not guilty because I know you're a roustabout in a vagrant and no good. And he just acquitted my grandpa for cutting him up.
Yeah, back in those days, you didn't hear that kind of thing.
In the segregated South, because people didn't know each other, and everybody knew that my grandpa, even though he had to adhere to the rules of Jim Crow and all that, they knew he was a man worthy of respect.
Yeah.
And he pretty much got it, even from the white people there. And that's why so many people showed up at the funeral, because he was well-loved and adored and admired.
Yeah, that's the kind of person we need nowadays.
yeah, couldn't have too many of them.
Yeah,
well, great guy. I miss him every day. Every day I think about him, I miss him, man. Wow.
Yeah.
He lived a long life, and he sent his daughter to college. She was the first one of the family. He got to go to college. She went to Louisiana State University, she got her teaching degree. And, with that, she went to Chicago and got a job with the Chicago Board of Education as a teacher.
That's cool.
So he saved all his money to make sure he saves the money and make sure he can send it to college because he wanted to go to college and be well-educated. And he was a man, of course. His formal education ended at the seventh grade.
Yeah. But he was probably smarter than most people who come out of college.
Oh, no doubt about that. Yeah. I put him all head and shoulders above most college-educated people today, infinitely.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
He's one of my real-life role models and superheroes.
Yeah, this year was actually a rather hard year for me because my dad died when he was like 2 or 3 months before he turned 70. And this year I turned 70, so I actually became older than my dad was when he died, and that really caught me hard.
Kind of sobering, isn't it?
It is. It's very sobering. It just kind of made me think, you know, what the hell am I doing with my life? I'm older than my dad now.
Well, you made it be older than he is.
Yeah.
That's what you've done with your life, and that's not nothing to sneeze at.
Nope. It's not. And the things that we can do now, you know, and I've always wanted to do a radio show, even when I was young. And I started listening to Rush Limbaugh when I was 16 or something like that. And I remember listening to him and thinking, that would be a neat thing to do one of these days. And the only way you could do it was go to a radio station and get yourself on the air. And then they came out with computers, and it's like all this kind of opened up, and it's like, wow, this is cool. I got to do this.
I used to have a guest hosting on WLS AM in Chicago mm-hmm. with a great Midwest conservative named Tom Rosa. He had me as a guest on his show regularly for, I don't know, years. And I was fairly mm-hmm. well-known up in Chicago back then, you know, mm-hmm. doing commentary with him and a couple other people there. It got me to working, got me to being on Alan Keyes' senatorial campaign as a surrogate speaker. I was for him. And I got on Jim Oberweis' gubernatorial campaign. And it thoroughly disillusioned me in politics because of the corruption I saw in Illinois. Political corruption in Illinois is beyond belief.
It was I've heard about that.
Two worthy candidates, both Jim Oberweis and Alan Keyes, two worthy candidates who were prevented by the political machines on both sides, Republican and Democrat political machine, from getting elected to the jobs they should have been, and the wrong people got elected to those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It was really disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just this last election that we had here in New Mexico. We had, I think, something like about 8 Republicans that would have been absolutely fantastic. And one of them was a lawyer that my wife worked for, and he ran for, my mind just went blank. I can't remember what the heck he was running for, but he was running for the Supreme Court. And right now the Supreme Court in New Mexico is 5 people, and all 5 of them are liberal Democrats. And we had 3 good Republicans running, and I actually did ads for Kerry Morris here on the show. But he lost by like 50,000 votes because the people just would not put a Republican in that place. Well, the last Republican that won part of the Supreme Court in this state was like about 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I was really disappointed by the results in Arizona. I thought Kerry Lake would have been a fantastic governor. And Blake Masters would have been a great senator.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
I was really disappointed by what happened in Arizona.
Yeah. I think I have said a bunch of stuff about that.
I mean, the fix was in. There's no doubt about it. We see now with the 51 intelligence officers, the collusion in the news media, the lies they covered up, the Hunter Biden laptop tale, all the other shenanigans that went on with the FBI, the Russia collusion thing. They stole that election. It didn't have a damn thing to do with Dominion voting machines.
Nope.
They stole that election.
And they were constantly saying, you know, back then they were lying and saying it was Russia collusion, it was Russia disinformation, all this stuff, and it's all been proven true, which to me should say, well, okay, well, if it's true, then that means Biden's not our president anymore, but nobody's doing anything about it.
No, Biden's the president. I mean, he got the job.
Oh, yeah.
Sworn. He's the president, even though he stole the election. They stole the election. It was not legitimate. He's the president, by damn sure. In my individual opinion, which don't mean a damn thing, he ain't the president.
Yep.
But officially, I hate to say it, he is. But we need to reveal how he got into that election. And without election integrity, it will happen again.
Yes.
He lost by – Trump lost the vote. They've got to keep reminding people of this. By less than 43,000 votes in 5 states. You changed 43,000 votes in 5 states. Donald Trump was the president. That's how they stole it, with ballot stuffing, ballot harvesting, lack of signature verification, tossing out votes that should have gone to Donald Trump. That's how they won the election.
Yep. And then all of that stuff.
I mean, well, it might have something to do with Dominion, but I don't think there's enough evidence to show that it did, even though I believe it's possible. But I'm just leaving Dominion out of the equation. All of those other things led to Biden's victory.
Yep. And then all of those votes that were dumped in at 3 in the morning, which they shouldn't have been done. You know, there was just so much there that was just wrong.
Yeah, not letting partisan observers be there while the votes are counted, not providing signature verification, lack of chain of custody of ballots, all these laws that were violated, the constitution violations by not having the legislature sign off on election law changes, all of those things contributed to that illegitimate victory.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, it's like you said, it's going to happen again unless we can get what happened out so the people will know what happened so they can make sure it doesn't happen again. But if that
That's
doesn't
right.
happen, it's going to happen again.
It's going to happen again, I guarantee you. Democrats know they're in trouble. They know they're – that's why they're importing so many illegal aliens. They think they can get a new electorate in because people
yeah.
are not voting for them anymore.
Yep, and they know that the illegals, if they can get them in here, they will vote for them. But, you know, and living down here in New Mexico, I see a lot of that. You know, our governor is constantly saying, oh, come on in, people, come on in. We've only got a small section of border there, but a lot of people are coming through it. And they're coming up, and they're living here in Albuquerque. You see them on the streets. It's just amazing. And the neighborhood that I grew up in, God, when I was growing up in this city, I could walk around this city any time of the day or night and not have to worry about anything. I go down there today, even at sunset, and I'm bound to get killed. You just cannot do that anymore. And it's all from the leadership of this city.
Yeah. Well, you know, topsy-turvy world we live in, so we just have to accept it until we can get it back to some kind of semblance of normality. It's just the way it is, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly glad that you called in tonight. This has been an awesome show.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it immensely. But then again, I always do, so, you know, we keep on doing it as long as you're willing to do it and provide the platform.
Oh, absolutely. I enjoy doing this. It's something that, you know, and like I said at the beginning of the show, I was going to do it on Friday night, and about 40 minutes before the show started, I had to cancel and reschedule because something happened with my wife and I had to go out.
I said, where is he at? I mean, I saw it. You know, I went to it. It said page not found, 404.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had to cancel and skip.
Did you drive us or something?
Yeah, well, my wife has a car that's kind of breaking down on her, and she was out doing DoorDash, and the car quit, and she couldn't, you know, and it was in the middle of, it was getting dark outside, so I thought, well, I better go and take care of this. So I had to leave and go and help her, and so that's the reason why I canceled on Friday, but at least I got to do it tonight. And I know I'll be back on Friday again because I told her, I said, this can't happen. If you're going to be out doing something, you got to be back by 7 o'clock so I can do my show.
Okay. Well, with that, I got to be taking off myself. Even though it's been a slice, I've enjoyed it immensely. And I look forward to doing it again next week. Let's see if we can hang out.
Okay, that'd be great. And I'll be here.
All right, well, you know what you do, but you already know what to do. I don't need to remind you, but to everyone else listening out there, now that you've been informed, go forth and spread the word.
Spread the word, exactly. That's what needs to be done. We can't keep quiet anymore. This has become a war, and we have to start fighting back.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
But you, God bless you, Sarge. I'm glad that you were here tonight. And Pionki even came in. That kind of surprised me. I haven't seen him on my show in quite a while, so I was happy to see him show up, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you take care now.
Okay, you too. God bless you.
All right.
Okay. We haven't done any advertisements for this show tonight, so I'm going to do one more advertisement. I didn't even get the first one out, so I'm going to do an advertisement, and then we're going to do this for the show, so it'll be in the archives, but...
Reeling in the Years reminds us that we will be right back after these important messages with more of the Voice of Reason on NWCR Radio. Many of our veterans deal with significant personal issues on a daily basis. These can include any combination of combat-related, medical, or psychological issues, as well as stress from transitioning out of a highly structured environment. It is our hope that through our familiarity with these struggles, we can use our experiences and connections to help these vets move forward in a positive direction and enjoy a fulfilled life. Our vision is to put an end to homelessness and suicide that seems to be prevalent among our veterans. Our mission is to remember, honor, and serve our veterans and their families. Who we are is warriors serving warriors, and we are comprised of veterans of our U.S. military with a variety of backgrounds and professions. Although we are a veterans group of Legacy Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we accept vets from other churches and denominations. What we do is actively seek veterans who would like to be a part of our elite Christian group and share our desires to help and equip other veterans who are in need of assistance. We help other veterans who are in need of assistance with their transition to civilian life or have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. We are currently proudly serving veterans in the Albuquerque metro area with future plans of expanding throughout the whole state of New Mexico. We meet every month to execute and strategically plan to reach our veteran community with the slogan, No Man Left Behind, giving them direction and or referring them to someone that could help them better their lives. If you know someone or are a vet yourselves, give us a call at 505-302-1999 or go to warriorservingwarriors.org. You can also email us at wswnmvets@gmail.com. That's Warriors Serving Warriors. Give us a call or join today. Color Only Day here on CNM with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNM, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right too when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the right are too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNM at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins.
Attempting a viral Benadryl challenge. And this was another dangerous TikTok challenge in the that is in the headlines after a teenager lost his life taking part in one. According to WSYX, 13-year-old Jacob Stevens of Columbus, Ohio, died of an overdose after copying a dangerous TikTok trend. And this is something, folks, I do not believe TikTok is something that you should be on. There's too much stuff there that's wrong. But he died of an overdose after copying a dangerous TikTok trend challenging kids to consume over-the-counter medications. Medications, folks, you don't do things like this with. The challenge was to consume 12 to 14 Benadryl pills in order to create a hallucination. But the teenager overdosed and ended up on a ventilator, and after 6 days, Jacob died. When he did it, all came at once, and it was just too much for his body, his father, Justin Stevens, told WSYX. Now the Stevens family wants to warn other parents in order to prevent the same fate befalling their child from befalling other children. Diana Stevens, Jacob's father, grandmother, said, quote, "I'm going to do anything I can to make sure that another child doesn't go through it." Meanwhile, Justin Stevens warned, quote, "Keep an eye on what they're doing on that phone. Talk to them about the situation. I want everyone to know about my son," unquote. Justin Stevens is also advocating for lawmakers to put age restrictions on buying drugs like Benadryl, as well as putting age restrictions on social media sites like TikTok. American parents, and indeed parents all over the world, would be foolish to ignore the lessons brought forth by the sad passing of Jacob Stevens. In an age where social media plays an increasingly large role in our lives, it is more imperative than ever for parents to be aware of what their children are exposed to on the internet. Because folks, believe me, they are exposed to things that you would not even think is possible. It's all out there. This is not to blame the parents for things that happen to their children as a result of the internet, but merely to point out that parents are often unaware of what kinds of content their children are able to access on the internet. In addition to dangerous TikTok challenges, children on the internet are also exposed to sexually explicit content and violent content that has the potential to do great damage to their developing brains. Parents have a duty to protect their children from this harmful content. Yet despite the fact that this is a broad problem on all social media sites, TikTok seems to have a special problem with its content that other social media sites do not have. Lawmakers on both sides of the political aisle are calling for the government to ban TikTok in part due to the dangerous content that children are exposed to on the website. That combined with the fact that TikTok is allegedly selling Americans' personal data to the Chinese government means that people who use TikTok in the United States are really playing with fire. Jacob Stevens' passing should be a wake-up call to all of us and help us finally realize that it's time to ban TikTok, or at least put an age restriction on it. Pray for Jacob's family and pray that our government will listen to reason and put a stop to this dangerous social media site that is doing immeasurable harm to young people in America. And we have another company that's going fully woke, and that's CVS. Now, CVS is a store, drugstore that I've gone to quite regular because it's right down the street. But I'm not going there anymore. But it says, look at the insane requirements employees must now follow. A CVS pharmacy stands in a Brooklyn neighborhood on February 8th in New York City. And this was a picture. The CVS pharmacy, a healthcare corporation that hires people who presume to embrace science in medicine, has gone fully woke and will require all employees without exception to buy into the falsehood that people can change their genders. And this is going back to the same thing I talked about earlier in the show, folks. You cannot do that. You're not a god. Only God can do this. And when God makes you a male, you're going to be a male until you die. I don't care what you do to your body. You're going to be a male. Leah Thomas is a male, period. And putting him against all these women in sports is doing nothing but cheating them of trophies that they should rightfully have. But employees at the retail giants, thousands of U.S. stores, have recently been given a policy on how to address their trans co-workers, which included a note that any restroom is to be used by anyone at any time. Now I'll bring you back to what that trans person at the beginning of my show said. I'll play this again.
We have allies who are also arming up because this is a war you started. The old expression, you prod the bull long enough, you're going to get the horns. If you back a wild animal into a corner, they're going to become a dangerous animal. So if you want to die on that hill of yours of righteousness and moral majority, then you go right ahead. I dare you to try and stop me from going into a women's bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. I dare you to try and stop a transgender woman in my presence from using the bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make. This is a call to action and a call to arms to everybody within the United States that are scared, worried, have children that are transgender, lesbian, bi, or gay. This is a call to action. You need to arm up, plain and simple. Go out, buy a gun, learn how to use it efficiently, through and through, because the time to act is now. You need to protect yourself, and you need to protect your fellow transgender brothers and sisters and theys and thems. You need to protect the rest of us in the LGB community, as I'm going to do myself. I do not fear Christians, I do not fear conservatives, I do not fear evangelicals, and I do not fear Republicans. They just talk a big game. That's all they do. But heaven forbid you do something in my presence. You're going to know what fear actually feels like. I'm done. I am done with this shit. We've done the right thing. We've turned the other cheek. We've shouted at the top of our lungs. We've gone to our state legislatures. We've sent emails. We've signed petitions. We've made phone calls. We've done everything. This is a war you want, the war you're going to get. But I can guarantee you, you're not going to get the outcome you want. Because there are lots of people like me who are not afraid to die. I love my girlfriends to death, but I would rather die for them to secure their safety, freedom, and future than to live and not have anything done. So you go ahead. You protect your kids from me using the bathroom. You've been warned.
Now, here's what I say to this person. Come to Albuquerque. Try to do that when my girls are in a bathroom, and you'll find out who will be down on the ground, because I won't be. You will not go into a bathroom when my wife or my daughters are in there. Period. Period. And you keep mentioning, you mentioned there that you're not afraid of Christians. You're not afraid of all these other groups. The one thing you didn't say was that you're not afraid of God. Well, you had better be, because you're going against God in everything you are doing. But the story goes on to say, additionally, employees who tell their supervisors they intend to engage in gender bending will be entitled to time off, and the company will force their colleagues to address them by their preferred pronouns. I wouldn't do that. They're a guy, they're going to always be a guy. The company's new gender transition guidelines were obtained by Fox Business, and they made it very clear how company executives feel about skeptics of gender madness consuming so much of the culture. For employees who intend to undergo a gender transition, CVS told them to let everyone know so the company can provide support to make your transition as smooth as possible. But when you're going against God, it's not going to be smooth. You may also wish to have an appropriate medical care to support your transition, including treatments such as hormone replacement therapy and or gender confirmation surgery, the guide said. It added, quote, during and after the transition has occurred, CVS Health encourages you to continue to partner with your leader and your advice and counsel representative and to immediately report any issues that you might have with your employment, your work environment, and or your leader, coworkers, clients, and customers, unquote. The story goes on, but this is just another company that's gone woke that is going to be part of this. You go woke, you go broke thing, because I'm never going to CVS again. I'll go to Walgreens. They're just right across the street. And if Walgreens does the same thing, I'll stop with them too. We have to start fighting back, folks. This whole thing for that we're seeing for these transgenders who are only less than 2% or 1% of our population, they're running our country. They're running our culture. They're telling all of the rest of us who are actually living lives that maybe that God would more appreciate. They're telling us what to do. This man is not going to tell me what to do. He tries to go into a bathroom where my daughters or my wife is already in there. I'll stop him. I may be only 5'6", but I will stop him. And it will not be the last mistake I ever make, because the last mistake I would make is to let him go in. That would not happen. Plain and frickin' simple. And we need to start thinking this way, folks. Because if we don't, we're going to lose our country. We're losing it now to less than 1% of our country. We have these so-called transgenders, and there is no such thing as a transgender. I don't care what you say. You were born a man, you're going to be a man till you die, and even after you die, your bones are going to tell the story. Leah Thomas has said, now saying that he's a guy, he's a woman. No, he's not. He's just a man who could not win as a man, so he decided he'd start winning as a woman. Trouble is, he's not a woman. Never will be. Never has been. Mankind does not have the technology to do that. Sure, we've got the technology to castrate, get rid of that, grow him boobs, make him look like a woman, but he will always be a guy. Period. You cannot think with a valid, radically thinking brain. You cannot think that this is right. If you believe in God, you cannot know this is right, because it's not. This Dylan Mulvaney put out a thing after this whole kerfuffle with Bud Light that he was struggling with his relationship with God. Let me tell you, Dylan Mulvaney, this right now. You don't have a relationship with God. When you started saying that God made you a transgender, all I have to say to you is, no, he didn't. He made you a man. You made yourself a transgender. by listening to all the lies and the distortions of the left and the socialists in this country, by believing all of the lies that they have told you that you can change your sex. No, you cannot. You're a man, period. You're not a transgender. You're not anything but a man, a very freaking mixed up man, but a man nonetheless. And you will die a man, a really stupid looking one, but you will die a man. And that's to Dylan Mulvaney. You are not a transgender. God did not make you a transgender. You made yourself one. Plain and simple. You made yourself one. God didn't do it. And you're lying to yourself when you say he did. Because he didn't. God has very structured and full, easy to understand rules about this. And what you're saying is a lie because God didn't do it. God would never do something like that. Because that goes completely against what the Bible says, goes completely against what Jesus says, goes completely against everything that God says. And of course, if you're going to a normal church nowadays, they don't teach that anymore. You want to learn about God, you have to find a church like I did with here at Lake in Albuquerque at Legacy. You can go to www.legacyabqnm.com. You can see all of the services on YouTube. You can go to the Legacy app. It's all there. And you know, the things that we have to start realizing here, folks, is that the world is lying to us. They're not telling us the truth. They're not telling us that the truth of what God says. They're telling us the truths that Satan wants us to believe. And when Satan has a thing in that, you know darn good and well that it's wrong. But you want to see a service, go to legacychurchnm.online.church. You can go to their main website there, which is legacychurch.com. You can see all of the services, all of the things that are going on there. You'll see the sermons from our pastor who believes that what you need is to believe in the Bible, believe in God, not what the world says, but believe in God and what God says, what Jesus says, what the Bible says. You want to go there? LegacyChurch.com. It's Legacy Albuquerque. We have campuses all over New Mexico now. We've got the Central Campus here in Albuquerque. We've got the East Campus, the one that I go to. We got the East Mountain Campus, which is in Eastwood, or East on the east side of the mountain. Got the Rio Rancho Campus. These are all here in Albuquerque area. Then we've got one in Clovis. We've got one in Portales. We've got one in Tucumcari. Then we've got a Legacy City Church in Oklahoma City. Folks, the truth is out there. All you have to do is find it, look for it, and then listen to it. Because we are living in a sinful world. We are living in a world right now that, I'll tell you what, Satan's ruling this world. And Satan's tools in this world are the politicians. Every one of them on the Democrat side, some of them on the Republican side. And the ones that are not doing the things that are supposed to be done, like following the Constitution, following the rules, laws of the land, following God, if they're not doing any of those things, we need to get rid of them. Which means almost every politician here in New Mexico, which means the politicians in California and New York and Michigan and all these states that are still doing things against conservatives and doing things against the United States. All these politicians need to be held to account. They need to be gotten rid of. And if we don't do that, folks, America's lost. We have to start following the rules that we had in place for so many years in this country until past 30 years or so. Just the past 30 years that we've really started to go bad in this country, especially after Obama. And we should have seen it when he said, we are just days from fundamentally changing America. Why the hell would we want to change America? We had gotten past the race stuff. Most of my friends, I had a lot of friends with Mexicans, blacks, didn't matter. We were all friends. Now if I run around with somebody like that, they're going to think I just switched over to being a black. You can't be friends with another race anymore and just be friends. When I was growing up here in Albuquerque, you could. Can't anymore. Because the Democrat Party and a lot of the Republicans are tearing us down and deciding for us that we cannot have friends of another race, because if we do, we're racist. Race baiting has become the norm in this country, and it has to stop. We are at the end of our second hour now. I'm in the process of trying to do a three-hour show. I didn't do hardly any of my advertisements today. I didn't do my intro to my second hour. I didn't do my intro to my third hour. But I got in a three-hour show. This is awesome. I'm really happy that Sarge called. I'm really happy that Bianchi called. Bringing It Boy was in the chat room. Bianchi was in the chat room. Sarge was in the chat room. We had a good show. We have to start listening to what is going on and start using common sense, because if we don't, this country is going to die. Glad you were all here tonight. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you again on Friday. Have a great week. Back next week with the next episode of NWCR Radio, where we work hard to let you know what America has in store and what the Constitution and our laws have to say about it. Stay tuned. God bless you all.